When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. That's how I managed to start the show, saying yeah. But anyway, you already know how we start the show. The shades have to come out. Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring to you an intro. Oops. Let me bring to you. Can you hear me, Spence?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Let me bring to you and introduce to you the award-winning, motivational, inspirational, just the best podcast, boxing podcast. I can't even call it a boxing podcast because I think that we're belittling ourselves just calling us a basic boxing podcast. We literally speak on all subjects. Ladies and gentlemen, let me start the show in the now famous magical words of dream it, believe it, but most of all, become it.
Coming up, you know the rules.
Hey, we did round about there, man. Bro.
Yeah, it's Tyler coming back. She's raiding up the little muffin box.
Hold on. First of all, let's do the usuals. Big up AAB Develops, first man or woman in the house. We still don't know if you're a man or woman. I'm sure you're a man. Jermaine Williams, come on, here for it. Chrissy Blue, the lovely Chrissy Blue 876. Daniel J. Boateng, CBC Boxing Snaps, Philip Ansa, Shegun Johnson. LU3 Beats, I see you, bro. Steve Bailey, Edna Good, Just Observing, Yemi X, Leave It Out UK, Motivational Talk 11, Air Max 90, this is too much. James Morrison, Guzzy, Untraceable, Coco, the lovely Coco, Ope, I hope I'm saying that. It could just be OP. You know, you're just trying to put a Nigerian swing on everything. But if it's Nigerian, let me say Ope. Yeah, you know about me, mate. You're about mate. That's another one. Old Tight Corn TWM22, Rob Mayer, Galactic. Anyway, let us start the show. Spence, what's going on? What a magical evening we had last night. A boxathon, 7.5 hours, strong, no stopping.
You know what? Yes, Manny, recognise you on there. The trim looks sharp, innit?
Yeah, that trim don't even look real, bro. That trim don't even look real. It like you done the Photoshop on the trim.
Yeah, big up Colby Cuts. It's like when Tony's about your phone to be disturbing me. Listen, when a man's cutting my ear, he has to concentrate, you know. Tony's phoning me every 5 minutes about, give me Baller's number. I said, brother, what do you think I'm the Yellow Pages? What do you take this thing for?
Brother, I went down there. I passed through. I asked Kobe to just line him. Yeah, true, said you got the lines. I said, yeah, just line him for me. But your one looked like he's on some, I don't know, brother, I don't even know the word. Some stick on trim or something. But you look sharp, brother. You look sharp.
Nah, son, it was like, bro. Number one is this. Let us big up Daniel Dubois.
Come on.
Right. Come on. Let's just big up Daniel Dubois. Simply because when man was calling him Triple D, you know what I mean? When man was
time heavyweight quitter.
yeah, Tony. When man was saying that he's taking more knees than the Black Lives Matter movement. Right.
That was a serious one.
Man was calling him Daniel Kaepernick. I remember all of these things on what he was going on. right?
Apparently, I never heard that one still.
Right. No, I just made that one up. But like I've said to you, like, they were dissing the youth, yeah? Mm. And one thing that I have to respect is the fact that he went away in the lab and trained his butt off, right? And he was ill going into that fight as well, Tunde.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I'm glad you said it now. I'm glad you've said it in victory and not defeat.
So. No, exactly. I'm saying it. The only reason why I'm saying it, right? Because in defeat, I ain't really going to drop those things, right?
Okay.
But I'm going to say it in victory simply because, and Tunde can tell you, there's many times that you work with fighters who have been injured, who have been ill, who have been, you know what I mean, certain things, but they still go on and fight. I remember Darren Barker was saying, like, there's never a fight where you're going into a fight and you're physically 100%, right? Mm. And for the mere fact of like how he performed yesterday, all the credit in the world, even Lennox Lewis was bigging him up because Lennox Lewis was doing the TNT show.
Okay. So
just for the way that how he boxed, how he did his bits, all the credit in the world should be given to Team Dubois and Don Charles. But Don Charles, apparently, my man's trainer tried to shake his head afterwards and Don said, move from here, and tried to hurt him up.
Which man?
You know what? I'm trying to work out because it was like I see a couple of videos out there and they said it was a bit distasteful what Don Charles did and all the rest of it. But yeah, I mean, but you know what? He's a passionate Nigerian. You know that. Don's passionate. I've known Don since I've been 12 years old, too. So yeah. He's passionate like that. Yeah, I mean, so like I said, I rate the way, because he's winning the fight anyway. It was close, but he's winning the fight. But the way he said, right, I'm going to close the show, that takes guts, that takes mental fortitude. So for everyone who was making complaints about Daniel Dubois and his mental temperament, that you just tore up the book, and more so than anything, he's up there, man. He's one of the big contenders.
You know what I realized here? It's not just boxing. I think you just got to be mentally, you have to be so mentally strong nowadays, because it's like the amount of people, or maybe it's just that sometimes you're focusing your attention, but it's like people just don't like seeing win. Other people win. And it's like when something happens to you, which is not what you really want it to be, it's like there's always a set of people. I mean, it's the law of polarity, really. It's like good, bad, up, down, left, right. But it's like, it's so bad that people, you know, you can have one fool and then it's like you have these set of people that are ready to just gun you down. And I say this over and over again. That's why you have to know who you're walking with. Because those times when you're down, it's in those times when you're down, when you need the strength of the close people to you to say, nah, don't even watch that. Just carry on. And, you know, Don has taken some criticism. Daniel, let's talk about the fighters more or less than the trainers. But the fighters that, when they have a bad day at the office, it's just, how can you just, it sickens me sometimes, you know. And I remember listening to Floyd Mayweather years ago saying, fighters, just stay off of that. Stay off of social media. Because it's a nasty place, especially Twitter.
Trust me.
Oh, SA1 boxer size. Thank you for the $1.99. Much appreciated, brother. Yeah, but I don't know what's about with these people. That's why you see me, when they come to me, I just let them have it, mate. I'm not in it. I just let them have it. I'm all right. I ain't taking no nonsense from nobody. All that little boy, remember, he's gone now, Umar. Bro, he tried to say something negative. I brushed him. I banned him from all comments, but anything. But you see, where is he today? He's gone. See, like,
I think he's gonna set up his own thing. But you know what I mean? Like I'm saying, good luck.
I think, you know, fighters have to be wary how they criticize other fighters. Because I mean, look, this little fat baby Miller, yeah, this fat baby Miller. No, it's big baby Miller, isn't it?
why you can say it's little? That makes no sense. It's little fat baby Miller. I don't understand.
And it's Fat Baby Miller. The amount of criticism, the amount of way he was cussing people, putting people down, you know? And yeah, I get that he may be a nice guy. I heard Gareth A. Davis say that he's actually a nice guy. But what people have to understand, when you criticize someone publicly, whether you mean it or whether you're saying you don't mean it, there's a lot of people who are gravitating to that. And now you're there, your humble self, but people ain't going to forget the things you said about them. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, yeah, and that's why Don Charles, going back to Don Charles, I said, like, good, let him carry on. Because Don, as you said, is a proud Nigerian. He's not forgetting. He's not forgetting. He's going to remind man that you were saying these things about us. And now, you know, let me calm down before I accept your apology. So, yeah. Anyway, big up
that. No. Because he got interviewed about it. And he said, no, I won't accept your apology. You said all these nasty things about us. And no, I won't. I categorically won't accept it.
Is that what Don said? Come on.
You know, Don is the original university in Nigeria.
Yeah.
I like with his rhetoric. So, no, he wasn't having it. So, it is. Listen, man. It is what it is. Hey-ho. It is what it is.
Well done. So, let's say just well done again to Daniel Dubois last night. Silencing the doubters. I mean, listen, both, I will go on through AJ and Daniel, really silenced people last night. People, negative people, who, again, we put too much spotlight on them. But it is good when the good guy wins, you know, and Daniel Dubois has come through a torrid time, defeat to Alexander Usyk, and bounced back strong, took the undefeated record of Big Baby. Remember, we said we didn't really know how good Big Baby is. It Fat Baby? Big Baby
Miller. Big Baby Miller took me. Not Fat Baby Miller. It's Big Baby Miller.
Yeah. We never knew how good he was, but I'm not gonna disrespect him totally, but he put up a great fight yesterday. It takes two to make a great fight. It was a great fight. And Daniel Dubois closed the show in emphatic style. In the 10th and final round. So credit to both men, but most of all, big up the daddy, the true daddy. Every baby has a daddy. And Daniel Dubois was his daddy last night. Come on. Go ahead, Sid.
No, man, like I said, Tony, it was it was an enjoyable fight, man. It was an enjoyable fight. And, you know, Daniel Dubois is back in the country now, you know that.
A lot of people flew straight back because
they said they're not missing Christmas, bro. You know what I mean? A lot of people have jumped back on the plane and they're back home. KD's back as well. You know what I mean? He hollered me. So there's quite a few people that are back in town already. I think Josh is back in town. There's man that's back.
Yeah. So, thank you, Michael Reed. Spence. Thank you, Michael Reed, for the $4.99. So two things don't run with Spencer's Black Book and Tundi's blocking pen. You know me, I don't play with no block. I was blocker, man. But yeah, thank you, Michael, for the $4.99. Go ahead, Spence. So the boys are back already, you're saying? Spence?
Yeah, Tim.
You're saying the boys are back already?
Yeah, the boys, they're back already. So as they're back, a couple of them we've got to see. They must really be tired as well because that's a long, long flight.
Yes.
And yeah, it was, you know what I mean? Like I said, but Tundi, let's talk about it. I'm not even talking about Annie Josh yet. You can wait.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Drew Belief Becoming? What happened to my man?
I told you. Listen, I said it. I've been saying it. We and those on the fight is right. No, I've been saying this. We still have not seen the effects of the trilogy with Tyson Fury. We've seen the effects on Tyson Fury because he's been quite active, you know. And I don't really mean. I mean, listen. There's only the Ngannou fight. He put on a stellar performance, to be honest with you, against Chisora and White. But, you know, there had to be some ramifications of those three fights because they were tough fights. Fury had gone out and done the business. We know that. But I was always wanting to see the real effect on Deontay Wilder. And the only way we would see that was after a three-round contest. Mm-hmm. And you saw, and I saw, and the world saw last night that this man is not the same. Wilder is not the same. Wilder is not the same.
It could be a plethora of things. It could not only just be the fact that the hard fights with Tyson Fury. It could be also the inactivity. It also could be the point that you went to is that Malik Scott, you know what I mean, the Pornhub king, right?
I never said that. Don't try to put words in my mouth.
I never said that you said it. I'm telling you, listen.
Wait. Disclaimer. The fight is right. I never said nothing about no Pornhub.
No, to me. I said it.
Okay.
And I don't mean this either. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day is this, yeah? Like, man. You know what I mean? Tundi, I'm keeping this thing 100. I like my nigga Scott, but I don't trust no man that wears nail varnish. I can't trust you, bro.
Why?
I've said it. I don't care.
Why? Why are you getting there? There's no need to go there.
So I'm going there. You know why I'm going there? No, I'm going to be real. I'm going there. Because, like, before, it used to be a lot of love between me and Malik, yeah? It used to be a lot of love. Yes. I dream and it always be, like, love thing. Especially when I was down at this guy. It's a love thing. You know what I mean? The kind of mix-up between myself and Deontay Wilder, which was going on for years, it was when I'm back in the Brits. So, that's it. Dillon White, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. I'm back at you, man, because you, man, I can affiliate to. But at that time, I don't think Deontay Wilder knew where I stood for. Me and him are cool now, right? But the time when things started to get flaky is the time when we had on former WBA welterweight champion of the world and former Olympic gold medalist of 1984, Mark Breland on the show, right? So from them times there, like, it was a big mix-up in America, remember? And you had to bat up a couple of the Americans on their podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So from that, it was a bit flaky, but Americans didn't really know us like that, especially, like, a certain sector of Black Americans. Read that out, Tun, because money can't cost you.
Let me read it out. Thank you, Kush Ru Parilla. I love the show, guys. Merry Xmas. Walk past all the local box up crime gyms in East London and congrats on helping the local community. Lions in the camp. Looking forward to Anthony Yard becoming a champ. Thank you so much, Kush.
Bless you for that, Kush.
Bless you.
Right? So what I'm saying, Tom, is they didn't really understand, but I'm telling you, I met Malik again when he came over to promote this show, yeah. And I saw him and Deontay in the corridor. Deontay knows one of my friends really well, Ben Gray. So then, man was chatting. I said hello, but all the rest of it kept it moving. It was nice, it was cordial, but when I'm talking to Malik Scott, he's kind of giving me like a frosty reception to me. Do you understand?
You know what I was saying? You get rich and switch. This is what happens.
So it's kind of like a frosty reception, right? But I'm saying, you who wear black nail varnish, you can't give me no frosty reception, brother. You don't have the right to give me no frosty reception.
What's about with Spencer Beeren? I don't know. This guy, my friend, is about Spencer's always kissing people.
No. And I wasn't wishing on your demise, but you know what I mean? I got a lot of time for Josie Parker. Josie Parker was one of the first men to jump on our show when we started 4 years ago.
For sure. Yeah, right? I remember that.
And at this time, Josie Parker's name was ringing high. You know what I mean? Because he just lost his world title to Anthony Joshua. Right? So I'm just exactly blood clot boxing. You know what I mean? That's the thing. We talk the rules on there. Fight Fan TV. Yes, big up Tun and Spence. You, man, always talking the rules because that is all that we can do. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to show this thing here. This is how this thing is. Things are reciprocated. You show me love, I'm going to show you back love. You know what I mean? Mm. You don't show me love, I'm not going to show you hate, but I'm just going to talk my thing. Mm. You know what I mean? So you can't have big man like Baba Tunde Ajayi, big man like Spencer Ferrer sending you a message while I jump on the show and you're trying to air, man. This is not like Air Max advert. No, 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 no. Because
you're coming up with one-liners. Manny Spencer's coming up with one-liners.
No.
Air Max.
No, I'm not having that. I'm not having that, bro.
Ask this question, Spence. Thank you, Rams. 11:54. Thank you for the $9.99, my man. Here's some change for the Christmas box. Big up my two favorite OGs. Merry Christmas, sirs, and a happy new year when it comes, bro. Much love to you and the family as well. And thank you for the money in the Christmas box. It is much appreciated because we know in the time we're living in now, every penny has to be accounted for and looked on. So enough love for the money, bro. And Merry Christmas to you and your family. From myself and from Spencer Fearon, I can talk for him. Come again. Mm. Carry on, Spence.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It's funny, yeah? Because I always take into consideration that, you know, when you reach a certain level, there's a lot of people that want to talk to you. You know, I'm sure AJ touched on it. But personally speaking, I know this to be the case, especially when Ant's got a fight coming up and all these people want interviews with him. But I'm telling you for a surety that the people that come up with me foundation, they can't phone me and message me and I don't answer back.
Mm.
It don't happen. People in boxing, it's a code. You have to respond. And if you don't respond, it's a disrespect. Because we're not journalists. Like, we're boxing people. It's a small fraternity. So when man's messaging you and you don't answer, again, I say to myself, oh, so what? So now that you're big out here, remember, everybody has their time. Everybody has their time. Now that you're big out here, now you feel you can't listen to, but you can't respond to man's text. Remember, Tunde Ajayi and Spencer Fearon are consistent. We've been in this game. We've seen many cycles of fighters come and go and trainers come and go. We're still here. So I'm like, bro, come on, man. Answer the phone. Jump on the show. We don't do it. I'm like, all right, cool. Say that. Sorry. I'm like,
bro. Let me just answer these people on here. We're talking about the Christmas tree thing. Yeah?
The what thing?
Christmas tree. Because but Spencer, you're Muslim, why you got a Christmas tree?
Okay.
Yeah? Nah, right. Now, this is being conducive of respecting other people's cultures. My wife is not Muslim. You know what I mean? She's staunch Christian. But if you know anything about Islam and the deen of Islam, that as a Muslim man, you can marry anybody who believes in the Tawheed. The Tawheed is the oneness of God. Right? So they are practicing Christians, just like I will practice what I'm doing, just like my kids get quite a few. Like when Eid twice a year, my kids get presents. And just like when it's Christmas, they get presents. The presents don't actually come from me, even though I pay for everything, but they actually come from their mother. But that's for me to just clear that up for you guys. I'm embracatory of all religious practices, but even though this is not religious practice, is cultural practice, but it is what it is.
My man said first it was the pork pizza allegations.
Nah. No way. I don't eat pork, bro. I haven't eaten pork in 30 years.
Spencer was eating pepperoni pizza on the thing. So Manny saying first it was the pork pizza allegations, and that's the Christmas tree. But I'm so glad that you've cleared it up for us, Spencer. Much respect.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have to just clear that up because I don't want people thinking like, right, people know what I'm on. You know what I mean? Like this Mark shows, you know what I'm on, where I bow my head five times.
I don't even know why you went into all of that.
No, I was silly.
Think what you want. But anyway, so let's get back to the boxing thing. So we was talking about Malik.
Thank you. Hamza, Abdullah, thank you, my friend. You know how this thing goes. Come on.
I was going to say to you, do you feel there has been a decline in Wilder since Malik took over the job?
Tundi. Thank you for the £5. Deontay Wilder looked like a totally different fighter in there. He tried to do 2.0 inactivity, 2 years inactivity, Luis Ortiz 2 settings. Listen to me, Tundi. Right? Do I think there's a decline in anybody when you reach 38 and you've been boxing? There was a massive decline in him. Bobby Wright, big up yourself. No question, just love, bros. You know how this thing is. Thank you so much, Bobby Wright. And also, thank you for coming out last week to the Amir Khan dinner. You know what I mean? Which you raised £374,000 to help the needy in the Gaza. So, big up yourself, Bobby. I'm saying this, Tundi, right? There is a massive decline in Deontay Wilder. But I think the decline, mainly, Tundi, is mental. When man's going on these little spiritual journeys and these ayahuasca things and...
What is this? Can't hear about this ayahuasca stuff.
I'm not knocking nobody who is in search of themselves, right? But as Les Brown says, and which Anthony Joshua demonstrated yesterday, when Les Brown says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside can do you no harm. Deontay Wilder is now a very wealthy man, right?
Yes.
And desire is a key point in anything when you have the desire to go and do things. And like, you don't think, and I was seeing like on certain things, I was rating how Deontay Wilder, I said, right, Deontay Wilder came over to the UK, he was just calm and, oh man, I wish you nothing but the best, my bro, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I was like, right, this guy's kind of cool. You know what I mean? But then maybe that hunger isn't there. Maybe.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I told you the aura had gone for me when I could just see. I could see the aura had gone. But the thing is, even when you hear him say bomb squad nowadays,
there's no passion there.
There's no energy in it.
There's no passion.
The 468 people alive know what I'm talking about. The bomb squad sounds fake. It don't sound it sounds fake because words carry vibration. And this is what I'm trying to say. All these things were telltale signs, and we spoke about it prior to the fight. Words carry vibration. That's why I don't like that word F off. Anytime I hear a fight using that word F off, I'm like, bro, move from me, bro. I don't even want you near me. But that vibration of bomb squad has disappeared. And the reason why I asked you that question about Malik, it's not Malik. It's the fights. It's the fights.
One second. All right, mate. How you doing?
Oh, Spencer's on mute. So sorry, I thought he was still on. It's the fights that have taken their toll. And I feel whatever Malik was doing wasn't going to really change the outcome of the performance last night. Coupled with inactivity and coupled with the age, we know that we was just never going to get that same Deontay Wilder. And as I say, all this, oh, how you doing, brother? Yeah, you know, we ain't got nothing but love. No, brother. This is war. Just keep your mouth shut and say, brother, I'm going to brock you up. Sorry, you wouldn't say, brother, I'm going to brock you up. But you were just, it's that energy. And the energy was what was missing from Deontay. Then, going on to the boxing skills, what boxing skills? Someone said that he's always fought like that. No. And then that's one of the reasons why the first time I ever saw Deontay, I was like, bro, this brother's rubbish. But he had that KO streak and that KO power.
Tundi Ajayi, here on the line, is the father of Daniel Dubois. Daniel Dubois has actually gone to sleep because he's knackered. David Dubois is just kindly, because, you know, the dad don't really do much press and all the rest of it. So we just wanted, because he saw the fight is right when he was going nuts over Daniel's win.
Come on.
So it's just everyone from the fight is right. Just want to congratulate your son, yourself, and the rest of his team.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? You all right?
Yeah, good, man.
We was excited last night.
It was a good weekend.
We was excited last night. We was going crazy on the live.
And, yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I saw it. It was absolutely brilliant, mate.
Listen.
You know what I mean? It's redemption song, you know?
Yeah, let me just say, a lot of people, and we we're very spiritual people, but a lot of people have criticized you, but they don't know, like what me and Spencer know, the sacrifice, the years of taking your children up and down, gym, you know, coast to coast. And I just want to say, I'm so happy for you that Daniel is on the ascent again. And I know your dream is going to be fulfilled of Daniel becoming a heavyweight champion of the world.
Thank you so much, man.
Trust me, they don't know the sacrifice, Dan. They don't know, Dave. They don't know the sacrifice. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Well, you know it. Well, a lot of people don't know it. They just see the end product, don't they? They don't know how they get there. Yeah, they just don't know it all starts, really.
Listen, congratulations to you, and thank you for coming on the show.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, oh, big up, man. I'm going to give you a call. I'll give you a call later on, man. You rest up. Congratulations. Oh, and also, David, where you get that blue suit from, bro?
Yeah. I thought I was watching a pimp movie, bro. I said, bro, Dave moving like a pimp last night.
Oh, I love my blue suit.
Nah, man. Congratulations, man. Congratulations again.
All right,
bro. You take care. God bless, man. Yeah, later.
As you, mate.
All right, mate.
Nah, for real, man. And this is what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, you reap what you sow in this world. And sometimes people make decisions which others made. I mean, listen, we know. I've had history with Dan and the whole family. And, you know, I always say people make the decisions based on how they feel. And you can't, it's not for you to be criticizing them. They're doing it because that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's everyone's journey. Everyone writes their own story.
I'm going to say it again.
Everyone writes their own story. If you ain't happy with what a next man is doing, you go do something.
Simple as that.
You go write your own story. Don't be just sitting down angry and vexed at someone and holding on to some feelings because it ain't going the way you want it to go. We'll make it happen yourself. So I know Dave, I know him from young as Dave used to sell the posters, remember the pictures?
The Militant posters.
Yeah, the Militant posters in all the food shops. That's Dave. People don't know the struggle. So, you know, listen, congratulations to the whole
department. Come on, Country Don. You know this thing already, Country Don. You know this thing.
Yeah, big up, Dave. Anyway, let's carry on, Spencer. What fight can we move to now? Because it was such a stacked card last night.
I want man to realize the way Josie Parker punched up my man, you know.
Bro.
Right? I want to say a massive big up to Andy Lee, my long-time brother. I remember Andy Lee used to come down from Ireland and used to hang out. You know who used to hang out with? He used to hang out with Tommy Cisse.
Andy Lee?
Andy Lee, yeah. He used to hang out with Tommy Cisse. Yeah. You know what I mean? I remember from back then. I remember Andy's dad from back then. I've known that man a very, very long time. So to see Andy Lee, and remember, this is the next thing. Andy Lee lived with the late, great Emmanuel Stewart.
Lived with him.
Lived with, not like, oh, he's training him, but no. He packed up and he went and he lived with the man. Rob, hey, it's bare fish and chips man out here. Andy Lee's not a fish and chips man. I want man to realize that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Trust me.
Right, he's not a fish and chips man. So.
wait, sorry, Spence. Man said, "You know me, I'm a habitual joker."
Big so
man said, "Man said Daniel went to bed excited for Santa Claus in the morning, fam."
I don't want to hear. No disrespect on Daniel Dubois.
That's not disrespect, bro. It's humor.
What I'm trying to say is this.
Sorry. Hey, yo, stop this. You can't be making man laugh. Because you know me, I'm a joker. I like jokes. But that was funny to me. Anyway, carry on, Spin. Sorry.
Nah, it was funny. But hey, what I'm trying to say is this, yeah?
Okay, wait. KO Boxing Vibe. Thank you for the fiber, mate. He says, was AJ Wilder officially signed?
Yes, it was.
or was it a subject to result?
No, officially signed.
No. Go back to what you were saying, though, Spence, and we can touch that.
Right, so, yeah, I'm saying like, no, I'm not hearing no disrespect on Danny Dubois' name now.
No, but this is not right. Disrespect, it's just a joke.
All right, cool, I hear that. But yeah. I'm not even laughing at those things because I know of what
they're... You said you was laughing. Now you say you're not laughing. But
no.
Let's move on.
You know what I mean? Because you know what I mean? And all beefing Don Davis as well. You know what I mean? Don't want beef for everyone.
Stop it. Carry on with the show. Carry on.
Like I'm saying, yes, it was officially, the fight was officially signed. Eddie Hearn come out and said the fight was signed. Their man was licking their lips to say, yep, this was going to happen. Never count.
When they say it was signed, did AJ sign his part of the bargain?
AJ signed his part of the bargain.
But if Wilder didn't sign, it's not officially done.
What are you talking about? I know.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Eddie may have been...
Wilder signed. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had the chance to even box on this show. Because that man said, listen, yeah, come. And then Wilder came out with a statement saying like, yeah, I have now... all my fights now will be Saudi Arabia.
Okay, he did say that.
Yeah, so yeah,
but was he confirming the statement made by Eddie that he signed? That's what I'm trying to say.
It was confirmed. Thank you very much, Captain. You know what I mean? Both of them signed the thing, right?
AJ said they both signed. Okay.
Thank you. Right? They both signed, right? Okay. And that was some astronomical money he was gonna go get. So both of them signed. And now it looks like, yeah, I mean...
That fight's dead in the pan. Because Wilder is not the same fighter. Wilder, and you know what? He's lucky AJ wasn't in there with him last night. Because...
Trust me.
Going back to... we don't even want to touch on that fight yet. We will touch that fight after. But going on Wilder's performance yesterday, I just don't think he was mentally... or physically in the right place. His legs. Listen, they have never been so prominent to the fact that I see how weak his legs looked yesterday and how thin his legs look. It was a... You see the meme going around already.
Nah, the skinny leg thing. That is funny.
What do you mean? You tagged me in the thing, so I don't even know why you said that. Listen, the fact is right. What you got to understand about Spencer? Spencer's a general. Spencer goes on like he's some image, but bro, Spencer is the biggest general joker in the history of the world. I didn't know nothing about it, but Spencer tagged me. But before that, regardless, those legs were so skinny, Spence. I don't know. I'm like, how can your legs even stand up? More than that, it was just, we were waiting for him to throw a punch. He just couldn't throw a punch, Spence. Then when he threw the actual punch, it was so slow and ill-timed. I don't even know if I put that down to inactivity.
Turn, like you said, from Malik Scott, want to try to change man to be a boxer, yeah?
Too much right? thinking.
Yeah, listen, let's keep it. The thing that got you there should actually keep you there.
Yes.
Right? Add on to things. But don't change things. Like, right, we're not going to be concentrating on this style now. We're going to be doing this and blah, blah, blah. And like I said, I don't trust no man who wears black nail varnish to me. Straight.
No.
What do you mean, though? I listen to me. It's a lot to do with the point. This is the point.
We're talking about him as an individual. Now,
yeah, I'm talking about him.
I cannot believe.
You see Angela Lundy wear black nail varnish? You see Freddie Roach wear black nail varnish? You see Senior wear black nail varnish?
You're talking about 50 years ago. Maybe they were wearing nail varnish.
Tundi, I'm talking of today, bro. Of today. You see any of them ever trainers wearing black nail varnish?
I don't know what they do.
I'm asking, man. I don't see none of them doing them kind of things.
So basically what you're saying is that because Malik had black nail varnish on, that contributed in the poor performance of Deontay Wilder. Basically what you're saying.
No, that's not basically what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Yeah? What I'm saying is this. The concentration has to be solely boxing.
Right? Bro, you know what you're talking about. Bro, what are you talking about?
I do. And when you're wearing black nail varnish, yeah, you're deviating from the path. Listen to me now, I'm on Sankirtundi. You're deviating from the path of the righteousness of boxing.
No, I need to get Malik on the phone.
Right? I'll tell Malik Scott to his face, bro.
Nah. I'll be honest with you. Malik has a particular way of training. Actually, he's a student of the game still. He's a student of the game. But
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. One point historically as well.
I just personally believe that the effects of those three fights with Tyson Fury has totally destroyed Deontay Wilder in the sense that the same fight, because remember, especially that third fight, Spencer, that third fight, Deontay put everything into that. His heart, his soul.
That broke him.
That third fight, he tried everything to win that fight. And I think that was the final straw. You know, the fight could have been stopped before he got stopped. You know, because he took some hard shots in.
Come on.
Fury was on different... Some Fury had to take hard shots as well. So it just shows that, to me, it just shows the effects. There are some fights that have such an, not all fights, but there are some hard fights that really have a dramatic effect on a fighter. And someone who has built his whole career and resume on being this hardest puncher. I told you you can't punch harder than Mike Tyson. I told you. Everyone used to argue with me. Mike Tyson is the hardest punch. When Mike Tyson was even got bust up, he still come back and still taking guys out with one punch. Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson took his beating like a man, as Chris Eubanks told us on the show. Mike Tyson was a different level.
Between kill, yes.
Yeah, but Mike Tyson was a different level. But in terms of Wilder, I hope he could come back. But it was really, really a very, very devastating loss last night. And I think, as you said, Spencer, he's made a lot of money. He's made some smart investments. It's financially secure, even though I don't know his, you know, what his bank balance says. But it appears to me that he's been wise with his money. And I think that after last night, I don't think that he should carry on.
He's killed himself. You know what I mean? Mm. Let's just tell it how it is. Larry Holmes said that Ernie Shavers was the hardest puncher. And he fought Mike Tyson. But he said the thing with Mike Tyson was sharper than those guys.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. They fought, Mike Tyson, Larry Holmes, they fought January of 1988. Larry Holmes with a 2-year layoff came out with 6 weeks notice and took on Mike Tyson. And they changed the dates because it should have been 3 months time. And Don King come and said, oh, look, man, they've changed the date. So, but that's, Larry Holmes said, those guys hit harder than Mike Tyson, right? But Mike Tyson hit sharper than those guys.
I think they're lying. I can only
go by what Larry Holmes is one of the greatest heavyweights of all
time. Ernie Shavers never knocked out 3 Olympic gold medalists. Easy. Ernie Shavers was never the youngest heavyweight champion in the world. I don't care what Larry Harris is saying. Nobody can't punch like Mike Tyson. I don't business. Roger Mayweather said it to me. God rest his soul.
Tundi.
He said, Mike Tyson, nobody can punch like that. Emma Fava.
Right. Tundi, and I hear that. But what I am saying to you, is I ain't been hit by either of them. So I got to go by off of a man of experience. He's saying, nah. He said, Mike can hit, but I said, those other guys, I remember him being in the changing room with the great Sugar Leonard. And he said, look, yo, like, those guys hit harder, but Mike hits sharper. So, off of that, I'm leaving it at that. Yeah, mate.
We leave it at that. Let's move on to Jai Opetaia. That
used to serious you, bro.
This, but I wish we could get Jai on the phone right now.
But that, you know, it's like a 20-odd hour flight for them, man, to get back home. So,
guy is a monster. Remember, I told you prior to this card, I'd never watched Jai Opetaia. But after last night, hold on, Rachel, old type Rachel, Tigozi, thank you for the $1.99. She's a big boxing fan, and so is the family.
I do know what she's talking about. Bro.
Breland tried to save him from his from this future damage. Correct, correct, correct.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this to another lady in Ballers today. Mark Breland had Deontay's best intentions in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He actually cared for this man.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to listen. According to Breland, I wasn't there. So, but it seems that Breland's prophetic. I think that is our biggest ever interview in terms of numbers. Mark Breland.
Mm.
I think it's our biggest ever interview. Those who haven't seen the Mark Breland interview, when he got fired from the position of Deontay Wilder's trainer, it's a good watch. But yeah, here we are today. And I think that, I mean, we're going back to Deontay Wilder now because it's such a, you know, it's like I said it on Twitter before. Everyone was talking about this Wilder AJ fight. Boxing's littered with upsets in the history of boxing. It's littered with upsets. People talking about the fight after. Hold on, you better deal with your fight now. You talk about the fight after. And I feel maybe even Deontay himself underestimated Joseph Parker.
Yeah, what? I'm not even going to turn around and say, like, it's a case of underestimating or all the rest of it, yeah? I'm not even going to take that on anything. I'm not even going by that. But I told you, Tundi, I was ringside for Joseph Parker's last fight. And what I saw with Joseph Parker looked sharp and he looked really good. Even though it was remember? He looked sharp, you know, remember? And he said the dream it, believe it, become it thing to us, yeah? Like, on what I saw there, I said, Parker looked sharp, Tun. Sharp. So, you know what I mean? And also, the saddest thing is like, history can be very unkind. So man's going to forget about all the world title defenses that Deontay Wilder had because we're going to say, well, who did he fight?
And that was always the thing, though. There wasn't no one solid on his resume. And I've always clamored for AJ in the respect that look at his resume. This guy ain't ducked no one. AJ's never ducked no one. He's ready for the fight. And for whatever reason, contractually, I think it was the Fury litigation that stopped the AJ and the Wilder fight going on. Remember, because, or the Wilder and the Fury fight going on. One of the two, I think there was some legal reasons why the fight couldn't happen. So it seems that AJ's always been the one that is willing to fight. And for whatever reason, the fight's never happened. And so, as I said to KD, in Tunde Ajayi's world, AJ will fight Wilder, knock out Wilder, Fury will beat Usyk, and then AJ will fight Fury in the mega fight. But all the marbles, or it won't be, because you said they're going to get fragmented after that fight. But that is the fight that I'm hoping happens. Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury. And then the book has been written. Everything of this generation, I would say, these generational fighters, every story, every chapter has been written, read, and unfolded. So let's get that fight. That's the fight I want to see. I want AJ to remain unbeaten. I don't want him to take no dangerous fights right now. I want to see the outcome of Fury and Usyk. I want Fury to win that fight. And then boom, just made a fight. AJ versus Fury. And wherever it is, we know it's going to be in Saudi Arabia. I will not be doing no watch along unless I'm at that fight. That's one fight I'm going. AJ against Fury. But again, maybe I'm jumping the gun, talking too fast.
Maybe you are.
I actually see Daniel Dubois in the mix.
Tun, I do see Daniel Dubois in the mix, right? I'm going to be, because let me do this, then, right? They came to me, I was talking to them in there, and big up Spencer Brown. I don't know if he's back home, but big up Spencer Brown. And they were saying, like, oh, what fight should we get? Like, we're going to put Daniel Dubois on, and they was going to give Josie Parker to Daniel Dubois. Yeah? Mm. And I spoke to the Dubois team. I said, like, the dad spoke to him. I said, nah, you don't need that fight now, right? Because I'm looking at the fight who I just saw. I'm saying, you just come off of a loss. You don't need that fight.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Right now, you don't need that fight. Even though it's a decent fight, but you don't need that fight for Saudi. Because that don't make no sense to me. You know what I mean? You're fighting a former world champion, and you don't need that fight. And then they said, oh yeah, we're going to fight Big Baby Miller instead. They come back to me about a couple days later. They said, oh yeah, we're going to be fighting Big Baby Miller. And I said, right, I know why that is, because Big Baby Miller spent a lot of time with Tyson Fury, sparring Tyson Fury.
Okay. Right?
So, and I'm talking when Tyson Fury's getting ready to, this is back in the day when Tyson Fury was getting ready to fight Derrick Chisora. He used Big Baby Miller for sparring. Right? So I was saying, and I'm talking the second fight with Derrick Chisora. They used Big Baby Miller for sparring. So I was saying, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me to make that fight. And not only that, but regardless of all the, not allegations, but the things that have emerged about him on the drugs and everything else. But Spencer Brown actually likes him. And Spencer Brown of Gold Star Promotion, he's got real pull out there when it comes to putting on the shows, because he's like the event organizer and all the rest of it, right? So they put the word into the big man, Turkey Al-Sheikh, and then that fight was made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But the thing about it is this, Big Baby Miller has been very entertaining for the time that he was on that bill, because he was the one that was gassing up things, run off his mouth on this man and that man. And that creates excitement.
Obviously.
Right, it does create excitement. But, and he gave up a very good fight. But, he's the next man, Tundi. He ain't boxed in 2 years, bro.
Yeah.
He ain't boxed in 2 years.
Big up Stuart Ling. Merry Christmas, guys. And thank you for keeping us all entertained and informed this year. Love this podcast. Keep up the great work. Come on. Old tat shoot. Yeah. Spence. Listen, this whole boxing thing now is getting excited. 2024 is going to be a great year. Right. What happened to this brother that keeps on twisting up his neck? Some clone. I called him a clone on the show because he's a clone Tyrone fighter. The man that you said was definitely going to hold a belt, he got punch up.
Now, you know what? I told you. That man touched me.
The brother's doing this. I don't trust him. Every minute, the brother's doing this. I'm saying, oh, what's about this, brother? Sitting down on the chair, twist up his neck. Even after the fight done, the man's still... I'm like, nah, this is a proper clone.
Don't work into him, that's all.
It was a clone. He's a clone. Or too much neck exercises. Because, bro, the way his neck was moving is mad. But you've got to take your hat off to Caballo, because I think the last time we remember him is when he fought Derrick Chisora. And
he wasn't rating this.
Bro, Jojo, sorry. I'm telling you, bro, he was an Uclan Tyrone fighter, because his neck, you know that when he malfunctioned, you know when the robots malfunction and they start going like this? That's what he was doing. I'm like, come on, mate, come on, sort it out. You need a masseuse in the ring or something to stop your neck twisting up. But anyway, it was probably the first shock of the night, Spence.
That was a shock, Tundi.
That was the first shock of the night, because he's trained by Beterbiev's camp, Mark yep. Ramsey.
Mark Ramsey. There.
Also, what's the rival guy's name? You know, the guy who makes rival gloves. He actually used to train Beterbiev, but he gave the job to Mark Ramsey. Come on, man. The corner man. I forgot his name.
Anyway,
forget his name anyway. But he had a strong, solid team in the corner. And there was a lot of noise about this Magnum. But again, Caballero showing that size doesn't matter. And he chopped him down, beat his body. It was the straight rights to the body and the left hooks to the body that eventually folded him. And if you want to beat a tall man down, go to the body. And listen, again, this guy put himself in a position last night. He's in the mix. That was even a good fight for AJ. That's a good fight.
It is, but like AJ, who was it? He said yesterday, Lennox was saying like, yeah, Anthony Joshua should fight Zili Zhang. Listen, I actually kind of feel sorry for Zili Zhang, you know, because it's like, everyone just leave him out of the team now.
Yeah, because he's a dangerous guy. He's a puncher and he's a southpaw. Very, very dangerous. I know he's in his 40s, but he's a guy that seems to look after himself well. He didn't look slow against Joe Joyce. He looked on point. And again, it's one of those fights where you can say, do I really want to take that chance when I've got this around the corner?
I want people to realize this part here. Zili Zhang wasn't the reason why Joe Joyce got bust up in the way that he got bust up. Joseph Parker was the reason why Joe Joyce got bust up in the way that he got bust up. I like to revert back to history because you can't escape this thing, Tundi. If we go back, Tundi, to 1990, when Michael Watson fought for the WBA Middleweight Championship of the World against one of our first real guests on the show, former freeweight world champion, Mike McCollum.
Yes, sir.
Mike McCollum damaged him with body shots. Mike McCollum said, yeah, when I was in the fight, I eat him to the belly, me, you're the boy I fought. Right? That's...
Mike. We need to get Mike on the show again. The original
on the show. We've got to get him back on the show, right? Yeah. So Mike McCollum was saying like he damaged him. Then Watson had that fight with Eubank, right? In 1991. And then he had the ill-fated fight in the rematch in September of 91. And he gets brain damaged, right? And we have to remember this part here. Yeah? That is through people don't understand. Sometimes you can be in a hard fight, you can win those hard fights, Sunday. Yeah?
Yes.
You could win those hard fights, but they have reverberations afterwards.
Yeah?
You could lose those hard fights, you're going to have reverberations afterwards. If you go into a hard fight and you win it, certain times you get fooled because you won it, you think, rah, psychologically, I'm all right. I can carry on going. But this game is no joke. That's why skills pay the bills and heart plays the part. You know what I mean? So I'm telling you that Joseph Parker profusely damaged Joe Joyce because that fight was hard. It was a hard fight, right? And when Joe Joyce is fooling people like, these punches don't hurt me,
His shoes getting chipped.
Thank you very much. You know, his shoes getting chipped, and if water can erode rock, punches can do a lot more.
Chinese power is serious, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
Chinese power is serious. Even though I got AJ winning that fight, I'm like, do we want that fight on the journey to becoming 3-time world champion? But you know what? I think now the heavyweight division is stacked again. We've got the young ones coming up. We've got the seasoned guys. It's just great. All of the fights are challenging fights for whoever, you know, because again, Caballero's undefeated. You know, you got Herkovic still undefeated. Listen, this boxing is getting exciting. It's getting exciting. All right. So we have to now talk about Jai Oppertayo properly. This man went out there. You were saying on the live, and I thought it very disrespectful. Live, this fight can't go 3 rounds. That's what you were saying on the live. And I was like, come on, Spencer. Give Ellis a bit of credit.
All right.
And this is even after I watched him. I'm like, nah, Ellis must. But when I saw Ellis in the changing room, what did I say, Spencer?
He looked nervous.
I said he looked nervous. And again, people have to understand the jump in level. It's not always everybody can make that jump in level, because it's like you've gone from your cool to Saudi Arabia. You're walking out from the dressing room and you're seeing Conor McGregor there. You're seeing Ronaldo there. Because you definitely saw them when you walked to the ring. You're seeing Turkey Al Sheikh. You're seeing Frank, George. It's different.
Tundi, when you're seeing big Ronaldo sitting ringside at your fight.
Come on, man.
And I'm telling you, this is how I can say, this is how much I rate myself. Like, Tundi can tell you, there is no alleged superstar, no matter how big they are, that I'm gassed over them. Go on, Tundi. Tundi's been around me since baby days. Go on, say, I'm not gassed by no one, you know. So when we was in Saudi,
confidence. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, when we was in Saudi, Tun, man was like, oh, Ronaldo's outside, yeah. But this is when I'm inside the dinner, the banquet that they had, yeah. The banquet was nuts. Everyone was nuts. Yeah, Ronaldo's outside. All of them, man, was gassed, running around to get pictures of that. And like, I said, "Cha, if that's the case, he's gonna come in. If man's running down pictures, I said he's gonna come inside, isn't it?" He never came. He just came for the photos and then chipped. But yes. To me, Tundi, I was in a room with my childhood hero, Michael Spinks. I was in a room with man I used to sit down and study on a regular at Roy Jones. I was in a room with man like Antonio Tarver. I was in a room with Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson. I was in a room with Jay Prince, the real godfather of the whole team. I'm in a room with these guys. I'm in a room with Teddy Atlas, who Teddy Atlas turns around and tells me that he watches the fight is right.
Come on.
Right? So me seeing no next man, Ronaldo, who his field ain't even in my field, right? I can't get gassed over there. So man was like, oh my word, there was gassed. So we have to have a mindset where, just like my little nephew will turn around and say, Rob, I'm a superstar when he's going to play football. So man can't tell me nothing on these things. This is how this thing is. Like, there's got to be some form of conditioning to prepare yourself to go into those bright lights. That young man had no preparation for the bright lights, number one. And also, Tundi, he's had no preparation to go in there. Listen, you're not even the best cruiserweight in the country of Great Britain. So how the hell are you going to compete against the best cruiserweight in the world, who's the Ring Magazine lineal champion?
I don't think
there's any further questions, Your Honor. So when I told you that he's going to this eight guy 3 rounds, I was being generous. Because I wanted to say he's going to get broke up in one round, but I thought, right, I know how these men will tuck up and try to vibe. No, brother. And I'm still going to big up Zorro. You know why? Because he got paid a lot of money and he could go look after his family off of the back of that. But as Tundi tweeted today, thank God for the fourth bottom rope.
Bruv, that bottom rope could have saved his life.
It did save his life. It could have.
I told you. I said it. Yes, you're getting the money, but you better make sure your health is intact. Because no matter how much money you got, if your health ain't intact, and I was worried. You saw when he touched it, I said, please, God, please, let this boy be all right. Because I know what it's like, you know, when it's a, you know, Antoine from, you know, Mr. ITV, Antoine, he said, what would you do? You know, how do you stop a boy from taking a chance like that? And the truth is, it's always down to the trainer. I think the trainer has the say, because and it's what type of trainer you are. Management, if your trainer is your manager when you're dealing with one person. But I just think your health is paramount.
Yeah, help totally. Big up JD Dyer, because he was doing his bits for TNT. Just pop up his thing there, yeah? He said, big up to that mentality, best boxing show in the game. You can see that, right? JD Dyer, right?
Wait. Yeah, come on, old time.
Now,
yeah,
check this out.
Come on.
JD, I should send JD a link so he could jump on the show, right? In fact, JD, I'm going to send you a link, right? Because we'd like to hear your stories of this. But furthermore, I'm sending you the link. I'm sending you the link right now. Big up JD Dyer. I see this little young man from when he's first there at Sky, when he walked in. He's like, rather knowledge, you know, me was wrapping up. And I'm very proud of how you've gone. You've left Sky and then you're going on to bigger and better things because now you're the main guy doing the interviews down at TNT. So I salute these young guys who are coming through. That's inspiration to me. Mm-hmm. That's inspiration to me. I've got to send JD the link. Mm-hmm. Right? But like I'm saying, the way...
Man said the bottom was stronger than Wilder's legs. I can say, bro, if you just want to see me laughing, just say funny things. Well, funny things are funny to me. That's fine. I don't care. If it's offending the person, please don't take it too deep like that. I just like a laugh. But yeah, old tight Jay. You know, Jay's doing well. I'm very proud of him when I see him.
Proud of this brother. Telling you, love how he's going on.
He's doing his thing, but yeah. So the fight was turned out to be a total mismatch, Spencer. A total mismatch. But let's not harp too much on that. What is the future of Jai Oppertea? You know, you have a champion in Chris Billam Smith. You have Richard Riakpor waiting in the wings. Who else? Lawrence Okolie. Does he want that fight? I bet you Lawrence would take that fight still.
Tundi, right at this present moment, Lawrence ain't taking all fire cruiserweight. I saw a picture of Lawrence Okolie.
Yeah? Please, tell me, bro, Lawrence Okolie looked like he had pounded yam, Nigerian Guinness, and Nigerian Fanta
at the same time.
He had fried yam for starters. That's Tundi. What the picture looked like. Fried yam for starters. Bro,
Tundi, this is Lawrence. This is Lawrence.
Bro, he looks so big. I was like, Lawrence, what's going on?
Lawrence look about 1940.
Maybe he's serious about going into the heavyweight division. You know?
Well, Tundi, he's going to have to, you know what? End of the day, it's like, I like Lawrence Okolie a lot, right? But of this present moment, you're not in a cruiserweight talk, yeah? Chris Billam Smith can't fight Jai Oppertea.
No?
Tundi, he takes too many shots, and if Billam Smith doesn't tighten up his defense, and I'm saying this now, if he doesn't tighten up his defense, he's going to be ending up walking on his heels. Right? But I watched his last fight, he was getting punch up in his head, right? You have to understand. This game is about skills.
Pay the bills.
Skills, my friend. Okay? And I ain't going to be around no one if it can't teach me no defense. Not saying that your trainer can't teach you defense, but you're not administering defense because you're taking shots. And I'm telling man this, you can't take them shots from your opponent. The only one that I could see that could fight Oppertea, yeah? The only one I could see is Richard Riakpor.
Yes, sir.
Right? You've got some pounded yam strength on him, Tom.
Yes, sir. And Richard's clean. Richard's clean. He's moving clean. You know, Richard, he can do it. I know he can do it because the reason why I'm saying, because Jai Oppertea is not scared to take a punch.
Exactly.
He's not scared. But if you may come with an attitude with Richard and realize that Richard is a blammer. Richard will blam you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure and honor to welcome to The Fight Is Right a young man which we have seen grown from strength to strength. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. JD Dyer. You even got big up like that on your team.
You know what? It's so funny, you know, because I listen to this intro that you give to everybody. It's only until you receive it, you start getting gassed yourself. You're sitting back saying, raw. Let's talk about me.
Love that. How you doing, young man?
Yo, I'm cool, man. I just touched back this afternoon. But I was just listening to the show. I was actually listening to even in the airport today, I was listening to the 7-hour show and you, man, because I obviously, you know, if I was at home, I would be listening to the commentary. Like, you know where certain commentary, where the real is, isn't it? So... Yeah, man, it was good. I was listening to the stream. I listened to the action. I need to hear the breakdown. You know, I'm always in the show, man. Always in the comments. Always here.
Yes. Love it. What was your overall impression of the show of the card last night?
Boy, Look, Anthony Joshua looked amazing. Yeah, that's the best I've seen him since I was here, what, 2018. You know what it looked like? All the talk about the pressure, the mentality, the intensity in his eyes. For the first time, it looked like everything kind of clicked. It looked like it all just clicked. And I was so intrigued to see how he was going to start. The first round would tell me everything. And the way he just established himself, he ran out of the corner. Yeah, I haven't seen that AJ in a minute. He ran out of the corner, took the center of the ring, and I didn't see Otto Wallin take it. Forward step. Not to give the whole breakdown of the card, but Ajit Caballero sent a message to the whole heavyweight division just to watch. And that's also a note. And I'm going to say this, yeah, because this is what Spence will turn around and say to me. What he actually sent was a message as to how boxing is a mentality thing, right? I watched Magomedov get into the middle of the ring, put his hand up like he was Ivan Drago, and say he had won before he had even started.
Caballero
took the whole thing in. And just said, okay, what should I do to you? And that's and it was impressive to see how he just kept his poise and his composure and came with a real game plan. There's a difference.
Yes.
Big up to Ellis Zora, regardless of, as you said, the bottom rope did save his life. But Ellis is my guy, the work that he puts in. Go and do the background research into his story.
Come on.
And know how little experience he had going into that fight. But the bravery of a real warrior to take the fight, regardless. Opetaia is no joke. Like, listen. When that guy comes up to heavyweight, because he will come up to heavyweight, he's going to brock a lot of people, you know. Because he is going to brock a lot of people.
For real?
He is. There's something different. You know how you, man, talk about the spiritual animal?
Yeah? Yes, sir.
The man coming with all the beads. I've been in their
church. Told you, Spencer.
They're praying.
Spencer's grabbing
some sort of ancestral, I'm telling you, it's spiritual.
Wait, Jay. Spencer was shouting about Juju. I said, nah, bro, that's not the Juju business. That's the cultural
it's different.
Energies, the calling on the past gods.
It's different.
It's serious.
It's different. There's blessings being put.
Tony, when you're talking about calling on the past gods, that sounds like Juju to me. But anyway, let's continue.
And just the whole thing, top to bottom, it was the first time I had the opportunity to cross paths with Spencer Brown. I wanted to say it to you lot in person, because Spence called me, Spence called Ron, right, who was sitting next to me in the same hotel, and I jumped in the call, and as soon as I heard him say, Wagwan, I already knew who the voice was straight away, and he passed on some words to me that I took into the fight, which was just, enjoy it, you know what I mean, be yourself, recognize how long it's took to get to this situation and appreciate your stage. So, you know, Spence, already how I feel about you, and you, Tunde, you already know how I feel about you too. So just to hear those words, I would say for me as a broadcaster, just calm me down. Yeah. I took my prayers the night before and I said to myself, you know, I'm just going to enjoy this moment. Regardless, I've already made my people proud just being on this stage. Yeah.
Come on.
Representing and understanding. The overall thing, when I say to you, my actual highlight of the night is Instagram will turn around and tell you it was Conor McGregor. It wasn't. It was actually meeting the Haneys. Because the first thing I turned around and said to them was, I know I need to send them the regards because we have a mutual. And Bill goes, who's the mutual? And I said, Tunde and Spencer. And he goes, my people. That's exactly what he responded. So it shows you how even coming on here, watching the show, seeing the rapport that you have, how it's open doors. Devin Haney had no problem in coming and doing a couple of minutes. And he wasn't doing media. Right, and that just shows you why stamina.
Yo, JB, the best out there. You're on my show regularly, you know? You're getting some big checks now. You better start putting some Snapchat money in this thing,
I'm telling you, the press is not coming.
And also, may I tell you this now? Remember the conversation that we had the night before the show, and I said Jody Parker is going to cause the upset, and Ron McIntosh, you and Ron tried to twist up my head. Nah, Spencer, you're talking crazy. This is Ron. A lot of people don't know that Ron McIntosh, the speaky spoke Ron McIntosh, when me and Ron coerce with each other, we actually speak in patois, right? And Ron was like, no, stop it. Don't talk foolishness. All right. And then you said to me, when you shook Wilder's hand, you felt some different power.
Listen. Whether Deontay retires or not, I spent a lot of time with Deontay Wilder and Malik Scott this week, right? That was the fight that I was designated to, Joe Parker and Malik Scott. Joe Parker came in with this real internal confidence that I thought Andy Lee naturally would give to him because of the movement. And as you said, innit, he's been active, he's been sharp. It's the best I saw Joseph Parker the last fight I saw him. But when I shook Deontay Wilder's hand for the first time, I was like, rah, the power is real. And I shake a lot of boxers' hands. I shake a lot of mandem's hands, full stop, pause, yeah? But this guy has like muscles on the back of his hand that I've never even seen before. Mm-hmm. Like it's a different mm-hmm. grip, and he isn't trying. It's genuine when I say to you, the power is real.
Yep.
But Joseph Parker was tactically perfect. That was it.
Yes.
He was tactically perfect. Every single time he was closing into short range, wasn't allowing Wilder to find his range or his timing. And when you have a man that's been inactive, only had one round in 2 years, that's what you do. Don't give him an opportunity to establish his jab, because then the right hand can't come. Simply. Mm. So it was tactically. He had the right man in his corner. I could tell his mentality has switched. He believes that he will be a world champion again. And if he times it, he will, because there's still one thing with Joe. When I said to Joe, I said on record, I still wouldn't have the friendliness with the person who holds the belt in terms of Tyson Fury, but it's not my career.
We're really talking about that, but you know what? There's certain times which I get, but there's certain times where you need a man in there who, because remember, when he's in New Zealand, you know, that youth's a super, superstar, you know.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's ridiculous how big he is. Mm. Burger King commercials, this, that, everything. He's big business. You leave from there, and I think it's a nice thing when you're showing humility to go and say, oh, I'm going to be around Tyson Fury. But I wouldn't want to be too pally-pally with Tyson Fury, because end of the day, I want what you got.
Facts.
I'm keeping it 100, right? I do. I want what you got. But then also, we have seen in the past where guys have been true friends, like Maurice Blocker, Simon Brown. They both fought for the unified welterweight title. I think that was in 1990. And they were tight, those guys. Tight. Best friends, right? But they ended up fighting each other, right? The money was right. They fought each other. And as soon as Simon Brown knocked him out, he ran to grab him and hug him and say, bro, I'm sorry, but it's the business. These things happen. But I get where you're coming with that. But I'm going to go back to Anthony Joshua. Yeah? And I want to ask you this from someone who's you work in the game, but you're not inside the game on the like with the fighters and that. Mm-hmm. Would you say that Ben Davidson made a drastic difference to Anthony Joshua?
Okay, so what all fighters turn around and tell me is Ben is a student of the game. So it didn't surprise me when I heard what I heard yesterday about what AJ said at the press conference. But you want my honest belief? I think AJ's always had that in him. I don't personally think you need Ben Davis to have brought that out of you. I personally think he's always had that in him. I think I look at, and I'm very close with some of the people that's close to AJ, right? You're not to name drop, you know, your Bengers, your KDs, like I'm talking about, see them any other time. And AJ needs to believe he's the best heavyweight alive. Because,
can I just make a point there? Let me just cut you. I've been listening. Remember when AJ went in this black room thing, yeah? The blackout place. Everyone was laughing. But this, I believe, was part of the instruments which made him so mentally different.
Facts.
Tundi, the only reason why I was being skeptical about the black room thing.
No, we was all laughing about it.
No,
we was all laughing.
Because, no, because I have an attic down here in a basement in my yard. You can give you the $2,000 on that. I'll cut out a little piece and just dash you some bread and water and you can stay in there for a week. You don't give these people the money. I need the money.
All right. Go carry on. But yeah, carry on, MJ. Sorry, you were saying about...
I just thought mentally, I'll tell you what the difference was. I didn't do the interview with AJ. Steve Bunce did, right?
Yes.
I went into the changing room afterwards. No, sorry, before the fight. And I could tell how, for the first time, there was no distractions. Like, genuinely, he was so locked in. Obviously, we spent a few minutes just interacting and whatever else, and he gave me a compliment, and I gave him a compliment back. But that's just natural as two people that's crossed paths in the industry for a minute. But I could tell that there's a switch that's flipped. I genuinely feel that he's going to go strength to strength. I don't know how it's going to work now with Derek James, because obviously, you know
Listen to me. Derek James is done out here. Yeah. You know what I mean? From the time I see Derek James take Ryan Garcia and show him the sausage roll business, right?
He didn't show him that. He didn't show him that. He took it upon himself to try and be...
Derek James, listen to me. Derek James is done out here. Listen good to me with Anthony Joshua. From the time when... Remember I said it on the show from way back? From the time they said, oh, he's doing bits with with Ben Davison. I'm telling you this now. Ben Davison hasn't got a plethora of knowledge. I'm telling you this now, right? But what he is, he's a very fast learner and he's very personable.
Facts. Big
can I say something? So what does that look like? Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury with Tyson Fury's fast trainer.
What do you mean what it's like? Let me tell you this now.
Jay, that's why you're pausing. Because you have to think about this thing here now. Like, bro, I don't get it.
There's a lot of cross-contamination. I don't mean that personally, like, but there's just a lot of, like...
Listen to me.
You've been in this camp, you've been in that camp. I think you can almost overcomplicate a fight. I love listening to this podcast. Let me tell you why. Because you simplify things. Sometimes people just forget it's a fight. But sometimes fighters can overconsume their brains. And
trust me.
A man that's been in the previous camp to now trying to pass on... Because Tyson Fury might not be the same fighter he was under Ben Davison as he is on Sugar Hill. So your passing on that might not be correct. And I'm not saying that's what's going to occur, but I'm just saying to you, like,
well,
the version I saw...
But what I'm trying to say is this. We've seen the difference with Tyson Fury since being with Sugar Hill. Because Tyson Fury's sitting down and punches now, and Tyson Fury's going to clap you up. Right? Pardon me?
That's making it more hittable.
Yeah. Tundi, it is making it more hittable, but it's also making it more exciting. Right? And also, remember, we warned Ben Davison when they brought in Freddie Roach for the first Fury-Joshua fight, yeah? Mm-hmm. And what did Freddie Roach say? Freddie Roach left the thing and start cuss Ben Davison. Right? Some little joke thing, and I would have had my guy be more aggressive and trying to knock out, man. And Ben Davison came on our show. And Tony said, that's why you don't bring in our next new man. Simply, sorry to digress.
He definitely listened to that, because he sees the same people that he's working with now, you know.
He's not going to bring all next new people in, because the next new people coming, they're looking at this little young kid. Well, you know, I want your job.
Yeah.
Right? Because who are you to have that position? Women have this. How they think. So I rate Ben Davison for the simple things like this. If he can, he made things simplistic for Anthony Joshua. And when I saw Anthony Joshua on the punch, the big punch, man. Yeah,
the blammer.
Right? Yeah, that belly thing. Yeah, I said, listen, he's going back to revert back to the old days where he can throw shots to be damaging. Mm. Right?
You know what, Spence? I'm listening, and I actually don't even think it's that. I just think that AJ's been a student, a person who's always in class will always get better. You may have. And I've seen it with my aunt. Aunt is getting better. And that's what Bibble said after the Beterbiev fight. He said that this guy is getting better. And that is the result of a person who's always in class. And regardless of what anyone has said, AJ, you see it.
He's getting better, a student.
He wants to get better and better and better and better. And it just so happens... The stars of a line that Ben Davis is in the right place at the right time.
Come on.
Think so too.
And AJ is now reaping again the benefits. Because he's never been, to me, he's never been in a hard fight. So all these men have been these tough fights.
AJ's never been in a hard fight. So the Klitschko fight wasn't a hard fight, Tundi.
No. Like, you're talking about one fight. You're talking about one fight, Spencer.
What? He's never been.
Look at AJ's
face. Andrew Ruiz fight, the first fight with Andrew Ruiz was a hard AJ's fight. Face.
Look at
What does that mean?
Listen to what I'm saying, Spence. Look at what I'm saying. He is relatively fresh. Anthony Joshua is fresh. He ain't damaged. To me, I can't see no damage. That's why we are here and have been talking about nothing other than his mental state.
Exactly.
We ain't been talking about he's limping or he's talking, slurring his words or nothing like that. It's just his mental state. Like, fix your mind. And everything will follow. And that's what's happening.
My thing with him was always the mental. And like I'm saying, and I keep on saying this, Les Brown says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside can do you no harm. And Anthony Joshua demonstrated that properly last night. But then, not to take no slants on anything else, son, I'm keeping this thing 100. It still was Otto Waller, you know?
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying about Les Brown. But, bro, You can not have no enemy with it in, and the enemy without is still had a punch in your face.
Nah. So
there's probably some context to that, Spencer. You can't.
There is context to it.
I've said
with Anthony Joshua, the thing was Anthony Joshua and his mind. Not to do with his physicalities, because the youth's an athlete. I've always said it. It's the mind. And it was because you're bringing in certain fish and chips, man, that weren't deserved to be around you to suck off your energy, but they're not applying things to add to your energy.
So now you actually are saying what I just said.
Of course, I'm saying what you're saying.
You're saying what I just said. It's not even his physicality. It's the mind. He ain't been beaten up. He's fresh. That's what I said.
He's fresh.
He just repeated what I said. So.
Shut up.
You see what I've got to deal with, Jay?
Christmas started early. I got my.
It's Christmas, day, but there's no Christmas spirit between me and Spencer. It's bare beef all the time. But what I'm saying is that if you look at the heavyweights today, you know, Fury, there's effects from that trilogy.
There is.
We see the effects from Wilder last night from that trilogy. And that's why I said, if this fight goes over 3 rounds, I'm going to sit up and take note. I tweeted it. And as the rounds went on, you were like, you was almost waiting for Wilder to say, oh, bro, are you going to throw this punch? Are you going to... Like, what are you doing?
It wasn't in there.
Physically, mentally, it wasn't spiritually. It wasn't in there. So now what I'm trying to say is, when you look at the deck now, the Joe Joyce's, the same Joe Joyce that said that he would brock up AJ. Put Joe Joyce in there with AJ now and see what will happen.
I'll just say this. I went into Wilder's changing room after the fight, right? Because one thing I have learned about listening to this podcast is everyone's around you when you win, right? And I always thought about who's around you when you lose, right? And I spent a lot of time with a lot of people in this time that's had the world of pressure on them on arguably the biggest card of the century. And I thought, out of everybody that's lost, it might affect Deontay the most. So I'm going to go and just pay my respects. I went in solemn mode, as you can imagine. But I tell you what there was in there. There was peace. There wasn't like the typical... I've been in fight exchange rooms when they've lost, right? And they're distressed. Like, how did that happen? What happened there? Like, I got robbed, this and that, right? But with Deontay, there was peace, which let me know that there's a part of you that is comfortable where you are in life.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like every fighter that has that element of comfort, I'll just give an example, and this isn't to knock AJ at all. You see, when AJ grabbed the mic and was confused as to why he lost to Usyk, that let me know there was still an animal inside of you that still wanted to rectify what happened that was wrong. I didn't see that. I saw someone who was happy to go home, talking about everything that he's going to happen with his family and Christmas. And I'm not saying they checked out. I'm not saying Deontay never prepared. I'm not saying any of that. I'm telling you what I saw, which was a man at peace. And sometimes we've been looking at Deontay for a long while now, 38. He's done everything. Vegas, Saudi, hometown, everything. He's done everything. New York. So at what point do you recognize that fighter just maybe doesn't want to do this no more?
Just wait there, because you don't keep these kind of guests waiting.
At the back. Double up.
Wait. Not you. We already got you. But I'm saying, this next former guest on the Fight is Right.
Come on.
Talking about the man otherwise known as the Flash. The man who was the WBC champion.
Featherweight champion.
What you say?
Featherweight champion.
Yeah, of course, featherweight champion. But for me, if you're a boxing man, for me, hear the name Flushy and Flash. You already know what time it is. The one, the only, the man that gave us the bomb Burma with Prince Nazim Hamid.
December 19th.
The only, Mr. Kevin Kelly. Welcome to the Fight is Right.
How you doing, guys?
Yo.
You caught me shopping for a little bit. My girlfriend's making chocolate chip cookies, so I got to go to the store and get the sugar. You know what I'm saying? So it's a pretty good thing. And like I said, I'm glad I was listening to the conversation, because yesterday was the boxing matches. And what I got from that was very, very simple, okay? See, the problem is called farming. Let me tell you what the problem today is. These guys today don't use the system that was yesterday. Meanwhile, we use the system that was yesterday, but today they don't use it. Why you have a Floyd Mayweather was because he used the system from yesterday.
Not today.
Today's system, these guys want to, they're making, I hate to say this. I really do. I hate to say this. They make too much money today. That's the problem. So what happens is they knuckleheads today, right? What happened to Wilder is very simple. It's called the farming system. What Wilder should have did was actually got in the ring with somebody. Now TV, work on your style, your craft, the things you got to do. I remember when Mark Breland was training him. And Mark Breland said, he don't listen to me either. He don't listen to nothing I say. So what happens is that's the cockiness and the arrogance that comes with being a celebrity and being known as a fighter. But you have to overcome that. You can't live in your own gloat. You know what I'm saying? Sir. You got to be wise and smart and do what's best for the sport. So at the end of the day, this is still sport. That's why I was able to do 72 pro fights and over swing time from 1988. And I'm a two-time featherweight champion of the world, by the way.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? By the way, just for your information. But the thing the thing is, today, these guys are not focusing on the craft. See, you got good fighters. Just what I think Devin Haney is actually coming out to fruition. Why? Because the simple fact is, he has only one way to go, is up, because a lot of people are trying to shoot him down. Javante Davis is doing very well, but we need another era where we have a Sugar Ray or Tommy Hearns, and how you do that is the guys got to fight each other. The only way is the guys got to fight each other. I think, like I said, the Wilder era was over before it really started. I give him credit for this. He did an awful lot with a guy that fought that way and with the amount of experience that he has. Kids, think about it. He went to the Olympics, got a bronze. Yes. And then he won a world title and tied Muhammad Ali's record. So for a guy with that limited amount of experience to achieve that is amazing. That's what I do give him. Okay? We all hate the way he fights. It's true. It's ugly. It's very ugly. But the thing is, he survived enough to make some records happen and be noticed. So I give him that credit. I didn't see Parker beating him, but hey. Parker, I give Parker, hats off to Parker. He puts his stuff together. And like I said, it's always a strategy how to win. People don't realize that in boxing. There's a lot of times you'll see a fight. It's not an upset. Nobody told that person they got to lose. So at the end of the day, is you can figure out how to beat them, you can go in the ring and implement that. And that's what Parker did to him. And that's why he beat him.
Kings, I just want to say this because I have to jump off because I'm getting screamed at for not doing my contribution for Christmas. But I will.
No problem.
I will just say, look,
talk to the speaker so I can hear you better.
I will just say, look, thank you so much, first of all, for letting me jump on the show. Yeah, I will be back. Yeah, no doubt about it. Spence, appreciate the message. Tunde, you already know how I feel about you, Kev. What? elite champion. Yeah, you already know. If my dad was here right now, he'd turn around and be telling me straight the VCRs would be going into the player right now as we're speaking. But I just want to say to you all, last night was a blessing. Yeah, Saudi Arabia was going in the right direction. And everyone have a great Christmas when I say this. Appreciate you all.
Yeah. Love.
Take care,
Jay. Love, things. I'll be back. Yeah, peace.
Yes, sir. Love. Right, let's get we got the flush and flush, so we can't let you just go off like that. Listen, who's your favorite boxer today, Mr.
Who's
Mr.
my favorite Kim? Boxer?
Yeah, today. Today.
This is something I've been doing lately with fighters, finding out who their favorite fighters are. And my favorite fighter was actually a guy named Matthew Saad Muhammad.
Matthew Saad Muhammad, we know, but of today, okay. I know that.
And another fighter from Philly was my favorite fighter, not because they were my favorite fighter to watch. It was just at the time when I was growing up, my father was watching boxing, and these guys were on television. And they were great fighters. Jolt and Jeff Chandler, too. Okay? Those are my two favorites, okay? And I loved, I just loved Salvador Sanchez. I just thought he was amazing. So I think, like I said, the best Mexican fighter is definitely Salvador Sanchez. I loved Matthew Saad Muhammad. I loved Jolt and Jeff Chandler. I watched Sugar Ray. I watched Camacho. So, and then as I started boxing, not knowing I would box, I started watching the history. I started watching Archie Moore. I started watching, Willie Pep, Sandy Sadler, Ray Robinson. I watched all this. So as I became a fighter, then I started going into the game and watching everybody. Right. And I want to add to that picture. So that's what my thing was, to add to that picture. You know, I understand we all come with a style. Okay. Yeah. And of course, for you Brits out there, of course, everybody wants the Prince fight. And I tried many times to get a rematch, but he wouldn't do it. You know, he wouldn't do it. Yeah, and I told him, you know, I said many times, I said, because, you know, people realize that the process that went into that boxing match with me and the Prince, I had to go retrieve him. I had to go to England twice. I had nobody to fight. I had no opponent. The guys that fought him wouldn't fight me. People don't realize that. So, and the reason that I lost my cool in that fight, the only fight I lost my cool, wasn't because of the Prince. It had nothing to do with Hamed. It was because the way the network treated me for the fight. Okay? I went and got you guys, and you want to take the credit for it. I didn't care about who had the credit. But what I cared about was that they gave him a contract, but they didn't give me a contract. They gave him all, you know what I'm saying, all this stuff. It was like they put him on the side of a building in my city and never put me on the side of the building. How was that possible? Now, I understand if I fought him in England, I get it. If you put him on the side of a building in England, fine. I have nothing to say, but we're in England, right? But when you do that in New York City, where I'm from, that's a spit in the face.
You know what I mean? But today, with your fighters, who is your favorite fighter to watch today? Not in your era, today.
Crawford. I like Crawford. Someone like Usyk. I picked Usyk like 2 years ago. Usyk, Crawford. Of course, I like Javante. Spence was okay. I like the monster. I do like the monster. He's really good. Now, I like him. Like I said, today there's some fighters that are very, very, very good, but you gotta, nobody's chasing the other champions. You get my point? That's what I was doing when I was fighting. I was chasing champions. I want to see how good I am by challenging myself with other great fighters. They say they're great. That's what they need to do. I see that Devin Haney's starting to try to do that. I like Teofimo Lopez too. I think he's very good too. Teofimo Lopez. But the thing is, the generations, they got to chase each other. It just can't be, oh, he's a good fighter. I don't really care. If I'm moving up in weight, I'm not fighting him. That's not where it lies. We know everybody wants that Sugar Ray Hagler-Hearns era again. And the only way we're going to get it is if these guys merge and fight each other. Okay? It can't be about the money. It's got to be about the history. You get what I'm saying? Make history. Yes. You can make money anyway, but make history first.
Yes, sir. Spence?
No, I'm not going to keep the great Kevin Kelly. I feel blessed that the fact the man gave us the Hagler Hearns of the featherweight division. And that was not my words. That was Larry Merchant's words. And I wish for a speedy recovery to Larry Merchant because he's actually in hospital at this present moment. But December 19th, 1997, your fight against Nassim Hamed is one of the most spectacular and exciting jaw-dropping fights that we have ever seen.
Your
comeback from behind win against Derek Gaynor.
You got to remember, I've done this before. So we've had some good fights. Also, what's funny about boxing is this. I got 72 pro fights. I only hear about 3 of them. Okay? For you Brits, of course. For the Brits, of course. Y'all going to talk about Nassim. Of course. I expect that. But if I'm in America, they talk about me and Troy Dorsey, okay? Okay, me and Troy Dorsey, then me and Gaynor, right? So the 3 fights I got, out of 72 fights, I got 3 classic fights. And I told people all the time this is the greatest philosophy. There's no such thing as a great fighter. Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. There's only such thing as a great fight. Because end of the day, without a great fight, think about it. Roy Jones is so talented. I think he was Superman. He was one of the greatest fighters I've seen with my eyes alive. But he doesn't have that competitor at the same time as he was coming up. So at the end of the day, I hear about 3 fights over and over. I never hear about Goyo Vargas, Luis Espinosa. I want my world titles beating these guys. I never hear about that. I never hear about James Pipps. I never hear about a lot of guys that I beat or world champions. I never hear about it. But I hear about me, Gaynor, first Dorsey. That's Dana White's favorite fight, me and Troy Dorsey. Did you know that?
No, sir. But what I've learned today,
Dana White loves that fight. Troy Dorsey. And like I said, Troy Dorsey, out of all my guys I fought, he's a monster. You need a gun for him. You need a gun because he don't stop coming. And you can't hurt him no matter what you do. And I mean, and after he fought me, the fight right after me, he fought Oscar De La Hoya. He went up like 30 pounds and fought De La Hoya. And that's crazy. Like I said, he's a martial artist. We still talk to this day. So I always tell people, I got 3 great fights that people love. I'm glad they enjoy it. Because you never know when. And the only reason I fought Gaynor, you want to hear a funny story? I was at Hall of Fame weekend, right? And my manager calls me and he says, Kevin, Roy Jones called me and he'll pay you a lot of money to fight Gaynor. Nobody wants to fight Derek Smolgena. He's a tall lefty that can box really well. He's good. He's got a reach on him. And nobody wants to box this guy. And I had it. I'd have to fight him. He was in the top 10. So I told my manager, I ain't fighting him. For what? I said, well, he's a lefty like me. What am I going to do with that? And I went to the Hall of Fame weekend. Hagler pulled me to the side. We're talking. He said, what's your next fight? I said, oh, you know, they want to fight this guy, Gaynor. And Hagler said to me, Kevin, do me a favor. I said, what's that? He goes, promise me you'll take this fight. I said, why? Why would I take this fight? It's a risk, a high-risk fight. No real reward except for me getting cash. He goes, you never know, Kevin. I'll never forget this. He said, you never know. Imagine that. He said, you never know. Promise me to take the fight. So wow. I said, okay. I said, and I had to do it. I said, okay. I promised I'll take the fight. And when I got home, that 4 days later, I called my manager, Tom Loeffler, and I said, Tom, tell Roy Floyd it's on. I mean, Roy Jones is on. And he said, okay. And I took that fight, and he was right. He was right. You never know. You never know.
I think the caveat for me today is what you said. There's no such thing as a great fighter, only a great fight. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to welcome the two-time world champion. One last question. Yes. I remember in what is noted as one of Floyd's hardest fights, Emmanuel Burton or Augustus.
Yeah, you were doing the commentary.
I remember you doing the commentary.
Yeah, but how, it was on my show.
Yes, sir. How good was Floyd Mayweather, in your opinion?
Floyd, like, is a good fighter. Like I said, you need competition. And the thing is, he stopped Emmanuel Augustus. Let me tell you something. He said never fight him again. Augustus style, it shows you style to make fights. Augustus has a lot of losses, a lot of guys that beat him and stuff like that. And what it's about, like I said, it's about styles make fights. This is what people don't understand. Because a lot of people watch boxing, but they don't understand boxing. You get my point? Mm-hmm. They watch it, but they don't understand it. When you got guys like Emmanuel Augustus, he's very dangerous. Okay? His style is very dangerous. Floyd couldn't pick up his timing. Floyd couldn't adjust and adapt to what he was doing. And I said it on the air many times. If he's lucky, he's very lucky Augustus couldn't punch. Because he was out of there. If Augustus could punch, he would knock Floyd out. But it was very good. And I went in the back dressing room when I talked to Floyd after the fight. And Floyd said, this is my hardest fight of today. Not knowing that would be his hardest fight ever. He told me to my face. He said, I beat Canelo easily. You know, he lives in Vegas like I live in Vegas. So we see each other from time to time, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, Emmanuel Augustus, you know, was a heck of a fight.
Yes, sir. You know yes, saying? Sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kevin, for giving us your time. We appreciate it, man. I hope we see you.
I appreciate you guys. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Dream
it, dream it, coming. Big up. The one and only Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, let's see now if Usyk and Tyson Fury are going to fight. We need to get that going. That's what we need to get to go. Yes.
Who have you got in that fight, Kevin?
Usyk and them. Hold on a second. 1 second. I got my girlfriend calling. Hold on.
That was the time to cut him off, Tunde.
Spencer, let's hear the answer. We want to know, Kevin, who is going to win Usyk and Fury? And then we finish.
Yeah, for real.
But that, go ahead.
Yeah. Who you got in Usyk Fury, brother?
Huh? Say it again?
Who have you got in Usyk or Fury fight?
Well, I can't hear you now. No, see, we celebrating Christmas here. This is the store. Look at all the people around here in America. They celebrate.
Don't worry. Listen, brother, it was great talking to you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
And now
we'll
do it again.
Big up, man.
We'll do it again, man.
All right. Later.
Yeah, man. Let me just big up Troy Graham, who came on our show yesterday. My Jamaica brother lives out in America. And we just big him up hard because he was saying, yeah, like Kevin Kelly want to come on the show. I said, what, for real? He said, yeah, he wants to come on. I just sent him the link straight. Boom. That's how it goes. Straight. Black Belt Power. There it goes.
It's only the Fighters Right can do this. There's no other platform that can do this. And I don't know when people are going to recognize, although they do recognize, but this is the great Fighters Right. Spencer, we have gone. You see, this 7-hour boxing from thing, what we've done last night, it's contagious because these are supposed to be our shows on a Sunday. Now we're touching 2 hour. We haven't even spoke about Lyndon Arthur, Demetrius Bivol.
And Tony, you know why? We haven't spoken about it. Because Manny made the poster, and like I said, if you saw it in the group, I said, I don't want to chat about that fight. I was leaving it at that. Yeah, mate, I don't want to. You know why? You know why? I don't want to chat about the fight. Because Lyndon Arthur is regretting not doing more today. I guarantee it. I stand on that. He's sitting down saying that I should have done because I could have done more. And he didn't.
I saw a tweet or Instagram post by Pat, and they were just happy they went 12 rounds.
Right. Simple as that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And sometimes that will become a moral victory in someone's head. I went 12 rounds with a man that beat Canelo, where you can sit down and you got paid and you're in the pub and you say, I went 12 rounds with a man that beat Canelo. No, brother. You know what I mean? You never showed me no desire that you wanted to actually win that fight, bro. And that's not me.
He hurt Bivol.
Of course he hurt him. He hurt him when he clapped him to the belly. Right?
Yeah, so,
So that is it. And I'm not even, because I'm not going to, because like, listen, man, Pat Barrett knows, right? But I also remember, I can't remember, there was one of these Pat Barrett dudes who went in there with Wayne Alexander for the WBU title. What's the dude's name? Michael something. I can't remember the dude.
It could be Michael.
No, I can't remember. I ain't gonna, right? But I remember speaking to Pat Barrett. Like, this is the next to what man don't know. It's me that got Pat Barrett his boxing license to come into professional boxing. Right? Because they weren't getting it. And it's me that got it for him. And I big up Pat Barrett because he tells loads of people that as well. But still. So, and I remember Pat was happy that, you know, I got my guy to go to 12 rounds with Wayne and he never got knocked out with a shine him. That's it.
Thomas McDonough.
Right, exactly, right. And he was happy just for his guy just to go the rounds.
The distance, you know yeah.
So I'm saying those guys, maybe that's in their mind, but I know that Pat Barrett wasn't happy. You know what I mean? But then also, I want to know, was the general belief thinking that you could actually win that fight? Because I'm telling you now, it was winnable for Lyndon Arthur. You know what I mean?
Won that fight.
Of course he could have, Tundi. Of course he could have, because I know, we'll talk off air, but I know what Tundi thinks. I know what Tundi was thinking. I was saying it online, right? So it is what it is, but I want to know this part here. How, and Styles do make fights, but how did Anthony Yard brock up Lyndon Arthur in 4 rounds? Brock him up, you know? I'm not talking like he brock him up, Tundi. Rack it up. And Bivol is a pound for pound fighter. Right? And yes, Styles do make fights and all the rest of it, but you can't tell me that Lyndon Arthur trained harder for this fight than he did to fight Ante Yard. You can't tell me. Because he knew that was coming for the smoke. Was coming with that smoke. He knew that. It's not like he didn't know. He knew it. Right? And I'm not dissing Lyndon Arthur because he's a lovely human being. But I'm saying you should have just went out and grabbed this thing. And man could turn around and say, but they were in the position and yeah, I know, like them parts of Manchester where you're from, you can buy a house for all £50. Right? So you can buy a bag of yards now. That's nice. You're set. You've accomplished something that's great, but you know deep down in your heart of heart, and I'm speaking as an ex-fighter, and man could turn around and say, but my record and all the rest of it, man, no. Bro, I'm trying a thing, you know? Like, you should have tried a thing, and you didn't, and you're going to regret it.
And there's two Snapchats. Anna, I don't know what it was. It said, Big Show, please see my question listed in the chat. So I will look up for that. And thank you, David G, for the £2. Would Zhang be a risk for Joshua, Fury, and Usyk? Now, first off, let me look for this question, what you're talking about. Okay, I didn't see no question. Oh, here's one. Super chat disappeared. Big Show, can you ask KD, JD, maybe it's KD, what AJ was listening to all week? He had a headphone in his ear during all interviews, during the press conference, etc. Be very interesting to know. If I was AJ, I wouldn't tell you. But maybe KD, maybe Spencer would ask KD at some point. The other Snapchat, Spencer, would Zhang be a risk for Joshua, Fury, and Usyk?
Zhang would be a risk for anybody.
Yeah, 100%. Especially at this stage.
No, Zhang would be a risk for anybody.
Someone made a point that this is why sometimes longing out these fights, you can long them out so much and then we can get what happened last night. We don't get the fight. But I feel Kevin Kelly made a great point that there's just too much money in this thing. So I don't know whether he was talking about from a kind of like an angry stance, because sometimes it's like, that's why I wanted to get Tava on it, because Tava is always going on about there ain't no trainers today. He's got to train one of these fighters for free. So, bro, you need to get told that. I've been messaging him all day, but I know you got a different kind of energy when you text them. I know you got a different kind of energy, but it would have been good to get Tava's take on tonight. And hear what his take was on this whole show last night in Saudi. He was saying that he told everyone all week that there's a possible upset with the Wilder fight, which there was, which we said as well, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. But I like when Tava says it with them big teeth of his.
Yeah. He always goes, bruh, what's the matter, man? Bruh, I got to teach these guys for free. There ain't no trainers out here, man. There ain't no teachers, bruh. So it would have been good to have Tava on tonight. I know it's Sunday there. Most people with their families, and also the day before Christmas, what have you. But yes, let us close the show.
I'm going to send him a message now.
All right.
I'll see what he's going for. It's just going on one tick. We'll just hold tight. We never know what could happen.
All right. Well, let us close the show talking about the magnificent, I'm going to call it, was that a magnificent performance and return of Anthony Joshua last night, Spencer. He didn't put a foot wrong.
He didn't put a foot wrong. He was actually excellent. But like I said to you, I said this before, before with Clifton Mitchell's on, go on.
Yeah, sorry, because you know me, I'm for the fighters. Michael Reed makes such a great point, Spence. He says there can never be too much money for fighters that are risking their very lives for the entertainment of others.
Mm.
1,000,000%. Go ahead, Spencer. Had to say that.
Yeah, Tim. Anthony Joshua was excellent. Right? Yes. Anthony Joshua was excellent. Anthony Joshua was excellent last night. I'm just give Anthony all the credit in the world. He was superb. Right? More so, not for how he demonstrated his skills or anything else, right? But just his mental awareness, right? And like I'm saying, it seems to me that Anthony Joshua has eradicated the demons in his head. And I was very proud of how he boxed last night, especially after seeing how poor and diabolical my man was.
Are you got something in the microwave, Spence?
Nah, it's my son. Bro,
there's always food going around in that yard.
Right, there's always food in this house. That's how we roll in this house. Hey, well, I want to tell you this, yeah. My son, when Amari makes his hot chocolate, yeah, it's like he puts about 50 hot chocolates in the thing. It's like he's not making it, he's making hot soup to rot him.
Come on. Go ahead. You know that microwave noise? Did I said, well, what's going on? This guy's cooking up something again.
Sure. I tried to get Antonio Tava, but he said that he's busy doing stuff. So I said, right, cool.
Okay. So yeah, in terms of AJ's performance last night. It was picture perfect.
It was. And you know what? As a matter of fact, I paid $19.99 for that. I'm going to go back and watch that in a second.
Yeah, he looked loose, very agile, powerful, thoughtful. And as JD said, it was good to see him come out on the front foot aggressively. I mean, people been asking for this. They saw it, they got it last night. So really, I think the only way is up now.
Trust me.
Continue this. I know, listen, as I said, he's getting better because he's in the gym.
Yep,
he's always trying to improve on his craft. Always wants to be better, and it ain't nothing other than that. The time, you know, and there will be a time. There's so many fighters that they don't start their careers.
Okay, the format, man.
Say again,
yo. Antonio.
What's up, my guy?
What are you doing? Listen, man. we jump on the show. We need to hit because we heard the Tava.
Tell Tava to look at his Instagram message. I've sent him the link on there, but maybe
I'll send him direct. You don't look on Instagram, Tindy. You have to follow him. Like, man, give him...
He does. But
Antonio, jump on the show. We want to hear you for 5 minutes, man.
Give me back, man. 5 minutes.
All right, I'm gonna send you a link. Right, jump on. Just jump on for five minutes. I'm gonna send you a link.
Turn the game on, baby.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we need Tava's take right now.
Yeah. About you said Instagram. Man, Instagram. Man,
sometimes, you know what? Sometimes Instagram is a good means of getting people.
No. Instagram is an excellent means of connection. Man, yeah, said, no, I'm not calling. Ben Davis and Mosley just got back, so he'd be tired. You know what I mean? He'd be tired. Okay. So I'm going to hear what Tava's got to say.
Tava's the man. But yeah, my thing is, AJ didn't put a foot wrong last night. He had the right opponent, which is what you were saying from the beginning. I saw Lennox tweeted that he can't really give a proper estimation because he never seen no ripples in Welling's body. He looked like he never trained for the fight, which I think was a bit harsh from Lennox.
No, Tumbi, I told you, he did train for the fight. You know what I mean? But there's training for a fight and there's training properly for a fight. And when you're... Right, there's training for fighting, right. And like I said again, I'm going to ask Antonio Tava if you trust any man with black nail varnish on his hand to be your trainer.
What's the matter with you? You don't need to go here.
I don't care, brother.
I know you don't care. You've said that for the last 2 days.
Right, I don't know what's happened to me of recent, but I don't care.
You should care. But we can't be chatting about man. If man wants to wear nail varnish, let him be, man. I'm not concerned about the performance of the battle.
You're not respecting the team.
Bro, you're on, man. Coming to the end of the year. But let's get here from Antonio. Say, but my take, Tunde's take, is it was a very measured, calculated. It had everything he needed in a fight. And their performance. You know, the slipping. I was loving the way he was slipping my man's left. And coming with his right. Brilliant. And he done it. He just didn't do it on the first round. He done it really. And you know, we just stopped. Remember, 3 days before, I said the shot for Welling is the right hand to the body. So then I must have read my thing and give it to AJ. But the straight right hand to the body on and the head. And those were the two money shots in that fight. I think it was the body shots, really. And then obviously that one, the one encounter. Oh, you laughing at
that? That man's getting trained by a fish.
He looked well prepared. Wait. Spencer, the man's getting trained by a fish. Who? Who's getting trained by a fish?
He's talking about Dante Wilder.
Bro, that's about where you look. Cussing people. It's not good, you know. It ain't good. Yeah. But yeah, the right and left foot wobbled Valiant. And I think when he took that shot, by that time it was bleeding from the nose bridge and under the, I think it was the right eye. And he knew himself. He was fighting a losing cause. And it was a great performance. I just think it was a great performance from AJ last night. And I'm glad everything seems to be system goals. That AJ last night is a problem. Well, you know, I don't even think we can put Wilder in the equation anymore.
Wilder ain't no equation, Tunde.
Maybe we're writing him off. Maybe there's still something left.
Tunde, there's nothing left, Tunde. There's nothing left.
Yeah, from what I saw last night, there's nothing left.
Tunde, you know what they should make? I'm going to be real. They should make Derek Chisora versus Wilder.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, yeah. They should make that fight, you know?
They should make that fight.
Do I want to see Derek in there again? I don't know if I want to see Derek in. All right, so guess what? Derek wins that fight. Then now what? You're going to put him in there with someone like Herkovich or one of them, man? Then? Nah, man. Just relax. Derek against Ingrano.
They should put Derek Chisora in there with my man and done
this. Derek would, from what I saw last night, Derek would walk all over Wilder. Couldn't even stop him early.
Exactly. So I'm saying a fun fight would be Derek Chisora versus Deontay Wilder. That would be a fun fight.
Deontay just messaged me. He said, you're sending the link. You said you sent it. Deontay. Antonio. He just messaged me back on Insta and said he sent the link. So I'm just going to send it again.
He's on WhatsApp.
Oh, let me send it here again.
Sure. I don't know what's wrong with these people.
Okay, so he's seen it. I told you, Instagram's the way. Instagram's the way. Everywhere, bro. Instagram.
Shout out, boy, mate.
Instagram's the way, but let's see. I can see he's seen it. So hopefully it'll click on and we'll get Tava's take on this whole heavyweight division and why he feels he should be the trainer of these talents today. Did you send the thing though, Spence?
I sent it to you on WhatsApp. Okay. Yes, big up Ren. Thank you so much, Ren 71 for the £5. A more active you took off. Did you read that already, yeah?
No, go on.
All right, a more active AJ is a dangerous AJ. Remember, he came into this thing late.
Later than most.
Yeah, came in later than most. 3 fights a year for him. Looks good for him. He skipped levels.
I agree. And as we said as much to KD last week, I said AJ having 3 fights this year is going to set him in a good place for next year. You know, and I think we've seen that every fight, if you go from the Franklin fight to the Hellenius fight to this fight last night, all in the space of 1 year, every 4 months, I think, it's been good, Spence. It's been good. AJ's got sharper and sharper and sharper and sharper. You know, and that's what you need. I think at the top level, that's what you need. You need 3 fights a year. When you can generate the type of money, and even those who are not generating that type of money, 3 fights a year for a champion is good going. Good going. Because, you know, you've got to deal with the building, the training camp, the rest period, the recuperation, and going again. So 3 fights. So it's like us. We wanted 3 fights. You know, we had that one in January. Then it was September. We was due to fight in December. That never happened. But now that this fight's over, I guess we'll be seeing an announcement on Anthony Yard next week, maybe. Next week or the week after. Yeah.
Week after, maybe, because you've got New Year then, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Next week, maybe. Some big things going on. Listen, I don't think you understand, like, what's going to happen to the fighters, right, the show. And let's remember, you lot were here at the start. I want you to remember that, because you see, when we step into this new year, we're stepping into this new year. You know what I mean? Trust me, I'm hyped about this. I know Antonio Tapp is doing some makeup right now, brushing up them big teeth of his.
Cream in his face and all sorts. Yeah. Tunde, AJ was always going to rise to the top. Hold on. Let me just repeat. Tunde, AJ was always going to rise to the top. The cream always rises to the top. As you said, he is fresh and has always had the right attitude, even when his demons got the better of him. He's still learning. It's all learning, sorry. Frank said Yard out in March. Yeah? When did you say that, bro? That's interesting. I don't know. The media always seems to know stuff before me. But, yeah. I thought February, to be honest with you. I would like it to be in February. But if it's March, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. Alright, cool. You're teaching me something. Michael Reason. There you go. Bro, man's got the background and everything. So you know and I know the face is creamed, the glasses are out, the teeth have been brushed. The one, the only, the man who we on the Fight Is Right love more than anyone. The magic man.
What's up, guys? What's up?
The magic
what
man.
You said, Antonio.
I told you we want the secret, brother. We want the secret of staying young and fresh and looking fly.
That's me. It's coming for real. I'm on that.
Listen,
yo, Antonio.
Yes.
I listened to the Antonio take what you sent to me earlier, and I said it's only befitting that, you know what I mean, that you jump on our show to give our UK followers and listeners your take on what you saw with Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber.
Oh man, I thought it was gonna be a challenging fight, but I thought he would perform a lot better for sure. You know, but again, there was a lot of intangibles surrounding it, you know, that I felt like could have went the other way. When you look at the A side, and I mentioned this in Tarver's tape, it was, even though he was the A side, he didn't have anything that the A side usually had for his home field advantage. He was traveling abroad for the first time. And again, this 2-year layoff, the man had one round. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to be in form when you were not getting any reps. And I think that's it speaks volumes for a lot of the fighters in the U.S. And it's been like it's been a lot of these great fighters, top-notch fighters, have been plagued with this same thing, long inactivity, long time off, and it's killing these fighters' careers, and it's killing the game when you look at it, because these guys aren't performing at their level. They're not performing. They're underperforming all across the board, and you know that it speaks volumes, man. It's like, you know, it's like the culture has to change. You know, they got to get back to the old school, man, and the guys got to train. Who's telling these guys that they're prepared for these type of battles? Who's guys looking to put an eye on these guys and saying, you're ready? Who's critiquing these guys?
What? Sorry there. I'm
straightforward, bro. Who's critiquing these guys?
I'm slapping my table, Antonio, because when they want AY to go into these fights, and I'm saying, no, I want some different fights before we go into that fight. People be criticizing me.
In any army, who's the generals? Who's the generals driving the ship, bro? I mean, they put so much on these fighters. They think these guys are supposed to just develop all of these, you know, traits of the game.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody giving no tutelage away. Ain't nobody giving no game away.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody being real, man. These guys for real, bro. Like, I just don't get it. They're not getting none. They don't respect the OGs like they used to.
Come on.
They don't respect the OGs like they used to, bro. You feel me?
Come on.
Man, you know, I would have did anything to had, you feel me, an opportunity, you know, to sit around the gym, you know, with great fighters from the past. And just get the knowledge, bro.
And
what's missing in the game, bro. Like, and I've been speaking it, I've been saying it for years now, bro. And
thank you know, you very much.
Everybody gonna get exposed because that's what
everybody
does. That's what does, bro. If you keep stepping in that ring long enough, you gonna get exposed, bro. And everything gonna be out there. Like, all I'm saying is, bro. Where are the lessons? I've been saying that. Where are they getting it from? Who's passing all this knowledge and wisdom and experience along to these young fighters so they can be equipped for those type of battles? Somebody that's been there, walked through that fire. You feel me? You look at any sport, bro. You look at any sport. Look at the guys that they giving back, bro. You feel me? You have a fighter that's willing, bro. It's a gem, because bro, it's priceless. And I'm telling you, bro, it don't take but one fighter. And like I said, I gotta get a game away for free, because they don't seem like they just recognizing. They're not understanding. And they're not comprehending. How can I tell you how these fights are gonna go before they go, bro? And my tongue must speak for itself.
Yes.
When I saw that press conference, I had to come back on Tarver's tape and say, you know what? I see the energy. I see the energy. Now, I'm going to tell you, Deontay Wilder's performance in a lot of ways has overshadowed AJ's performance. And that's crazy because AJ is what we need to be talking about right now. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I got to really put Wilder under the microscope. He really didn't bring no defense. He really didn't, you know, make Anthony think about anything. But I haven't ever seen AJ that poised, that
controlled.
And he placing every shot. He was anticipating. And I'm telling you, the way he was throwing those shots, he was putting that right hand. He was changing the direction on it, the speed. And I'm like, okay. And I don't know if that was just his opponent in front of him. But if AJ, if he can keep that, I mean, man, I mean, he probably can straighten some things out, man. Because like I say, all these guys are missing are the lessons. And if these guys are smart enough and understand what's been missing, these guys can catch up with the competition and move that needle. And I'm looking at a lot of divisions out there. Like, bro, it's like, I always thought winning was everything, bro.
And if yes.
And if it yes. came to winning, bro, I got to have somebody that I feel like going to prepare me for that battle. The best way that I know that I know how, and teach me something. You feel me, bro? Like, really show these guys how to do it. You feel me? That's something that, bro, I can show these guys how to do it, bro. And I'm a type of guy. I don't mind sticking my neck out there on the line. I've done that before. I'm trying to tell you, bro. It ain't going to take but one fighter for these guys to understand that, bruh, it's levels to this shit, even on the training aspect. Yeah. Bruh, I'm not calling nobody out. I'm just saying, if you had a tool that you can use, bruh, to help you realize your dreams and goals, bruh, I don't know what, I just don't understand what they don't understand about boxing, bro. This is not just your ordinary sport.
Well, Antonio, last time I saw you, champ, we were out in Saudi Arabia for Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou, which was incredible. The experience, even at that dinner, being at that dinner was crazy. You know, bro, after the dinner, I could have gone home. Okay. Right. I'm gonna be real, right? So I'm bigging up Spencer Brown, all the rest of the crew, and everything else. But what I'm saying with you, Antonio, it's seemingly like things are going out to Saudi Arabia far often. Would you set up base out there and teach your fighters out in Saudi Arabia? Because I think that'd be a great opportunity for you, especially a man with your plethora of knowledge.
Well, you know, man, I'm open for everything, but relocating would be tough, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, but again, I'm about developing champions. You feel me? I'm about developing champions, and I think I can help champions. You feel me, bro? And if the champions are out there, I would love to go out there and help these guys. You feel me? But that's what I'm all about, bro. Like, I understand that my experience is unique, bro. I really do, but it is what it is. I did that. You feel me? And like I said, even from the amateurs, bro, I can, you know, even from the amateurs, you know, my thing is I like to develop amateurs too. I mean, there's something that I can help all these young men with, bro, because my experience is vast. My knowledge is vast. And I'm already a thinker anyway. You feel me? And I'm about winning. If I'm in the game, we got a shot.
Trust me. Antonio Carver.
Bro.
Thank you so much.
With me is winning. That's it.
Yes, sir. Brother, thank you. It's, right. it's always a pleasure to have your knowledge.
But again, I don't want to cut you off. but I want to wrap this up with the Wilder situation.
Two years,
one round in 2 years, and then having an ex-champion in front of him, I just don't think there was nothing he could probably do to really put himself in a winning situation. When you're traveling abroad for the first time, you would have to have, you know what I'm saying? You would have to have that type of character, bro. That it can be me against the world, and you still got to feel like you got a shot. You feel me? You got to have that type of thick skin crossing abroad. And you got to have that mentality. It's a way to go over there. You just can't go over there as if you in your backyard. You got to understand where you at, the moment. All of this has to be, you know, very visible to a fighter.
You definitely have given me some. And you definitely have given me some tangibles.
2 months ahead of time with the same, you feel me, energy. So that energy, it just transfers.
So Antonio, can I ask you something? Because AO keeps on saying, like, what do you think of Malik Scott as a trainer?
I don't know, because I have never been in the gym with him.
All right, but do you trust any man with nail varnish to train you a fighter? A man's got nail varnish on, nail polish.
Man, I ain't got no. I don't know. That, I mean, personally, I don't have no opinion on that. But I'm just saying, as a trainer, from what I see, you know, I thought that he would get more out of Wilder. I don't, but from what I saw, all I did see was from social media. You know what I'm saying? And my thing, if it was all content, then it showed. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, if I can't say he's what type of trainer he is, because I haven't been in, I don't know how he thinks. I haven't seen him.
I think he's a good trainer. I'm going to be real with you. I think he's a good trainer. I'm not a fan of his no varnish thing, right? But I think he's a good trainer. But what I am saying is, I think he's tried to concentrate on too much for Deontay Wilder to box now. And Deontay Wilder's thing was his unpredictability and speed, where he could clap you and knock you out. And now he's like, as Tundi said yesterday on the show, they've got him thinking too much now. And as he's thinking too much, it's not that fluidity, the natural fluidity. That's what I believe. But it is what it is.
Now, truth be told, even when they were, showing the videos on social media, I was seeing the same thing you just saw. You know what I mean? But that's to the eye. Everybody can't see what we're seeing as far as balance and rhythm and control. So, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm dissecting everything, and I'm like, okay, everything, look, I see, okay, but what's going to happen when those punches start coming? And that's what you got for. I would have liked to have seen some sparring where Deontay was, some fire, and we were watching how he reacted. See, that, put that under the microscope. You feel me? Then if a fighter's ready for something that just happened this past weekend. But if you ain't getting that type of sparring, and the sparring ain't tough, and you're not making adjustments in the gym, you feel me? Those adjustments, how you think those adjustments going to come in the fight? I don't know if these fighters are saying, let me spar this guy. I don't know if the trainer is the control to really bring in who he wants. I don't know how the camp is being ran. So, you can't put everything on Malik Scott. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know what he's allowed to do and can't do. You feel me?
Kevin Kelly made the Flash and Flash was on the show just a few minutes ago. And he believes that the reason why boxing is in the state it is today is because these boys are getting too much money, and they're forgetting about the art, the skill, the dedication,
and what it takes to be a great fighter. They're forgetting the boxing schools based on the money. What do you think about that, Antonio?
Money always been a, you know, a component of the game.
Yes.
That ain't never stopped none of us from winning.
It's maybe because you never got the money.
Truth be told, bro, it's the energy. It ain't been the energy. It ain't been the same since Tarver left.
Come on.
It ain't been the same since I left the game, bro.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, listen, we're going to wrap it up.
Salute to Antonio Tarver.
Brother, thank you for joining us, man, and giving us your time on this Sunday.
Appreciate all my fans from the UK, man. You know that. Follow me at Antonio Tarver on all social media platforms, and make sure you tap in to Tarver's Tape, the most informative take in boxing. Just remember where you heard it first.
Come on.
Big up. Love.
One. Excellent. That's our brother there, man. Antonio, you know, this guy, he just, man, it is about the energy, agreed. And, you know, Tarver has always got his take on boxing. I always love listening to him and just hearing the passion with which he speaks. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you're going to listen to it because the energy don't lie.
Come on.
Vince, it's been a great show. Look at this, 2 hours and 20. We have gone over.
Around 2 minutes.
About 80 minutes.
It is what it is. It was just too many people. Thanks to JD for jumping on the show. Thanks to the Flushing Flesh in Kevin Kelly. And thanks to Antonio Tarver. And you can't tell me, you can't get this on no other podcast.
At all. You know,
legends regularly just jump on like none. Showing the love to the UK, but to the world, because this is a global thing now. Thanks to every single person that jumped on our thing yesterday. Tundi was incredible. And I like how Tundi just called the fight hard when he said, like, yeah, there you go. There are my hands. Okay. There you go. All right. So, how fantastic that was. I'm surprised that Tundi's not tired right now.
This morning, but trust me. You try to do that thing and phone me on Sunday at 10:30. I just ignored your call, bro. Don't stop phoning me on Sunday before 1 p.m. You think you're smart? You know what you're doing?
No, I'm not.
You know I mean? Don't need to get up. There ain't no kids running around telling me that.
My kids are running around from early. You know what I mean?
Bring me early.
And plus, my kids got up to go to church today. So the mom got them ready to go to church. So my kids get up from early. And it is what it is. And what we've got an hour and a half before we reach on Christmas Day. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. Hour and a half till we reach on Christmas Day.
Ben, look at this again.
What?
22:22. We've done 2 hours 22. The show is wrapping up spiritually. The show done.
Yeah.
This thing's serious.
We got 50 seconds left. Done the show now, Tun.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Have a Merry Christmas, a prosperous New Year. We will be back next Sunday, New Year's Eve. But until then, we say in the magical words, dream it, believe it, become it.
Coming up, season's greetings to everybody. And Tundi, we got to go in. We got to go have some Adam's Burgers to start nyamming on the show. But we want money.
Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.